about.
Well, I'm going to read my speech. I worked hard on it. In the words of Grandmaster Flash, you going high on that cocaine, you going crazy like a cocaine train.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Where are you guys from?
From here.
Can't do anything with that. What about yourself?
Seattle.
Seattle. I love Seattle.
You spent time there?
Never been. Just I've just met from films. Sleepless in Seattle. Thinking something with Denzel Washington?
I don't know. No.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because Seattle is actually the suicide capital of America. I don't know if you know that.
No, I think you're wrong.
I think you're wrong.
Anyway, I got some more music and goodies coming up. Stick around. I am here. Hope you were there.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Jesus H. Christ in a chicken basket.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You can't say that on the radio, Larry.
Roll another one.
Someone's got their pouty face on.
Just like me.
This is it. I mean, this is really
this
it.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Do you know the Muffin Man?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. 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 It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Go Buffalo.
Roll.
For a little while.
Just like the other one.
I need a woman.
This one seems to be about to end.
Girls want sex just as much as guys do.
I don't have another cent.
Are we prepared to let the Kevins of the world decide anything for us? Anything at all?
It could be worse, but I'm not sure how.
Just pass it around.
And now, our feature presentation.
We make ridiculous noises on this show.
That was a spirited debate you and Ralph were having.
There was no debate. We were agreeing.
I couldn't tell who was winning.
Oh, we were agreeing. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, the 21st of November.
What's going on? How's everybody?
You know, big pimping like we do.
It's Friday, and that means the weekend.
Right.
And then for many people, 3-day week next week.
Yeah.
And then 4-day weekend.
Yeah.
So this is a nice patch right here.
It's funny we complain sometimes about doing the job. This is a great job to have because we have so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still nice to have those 4 days off.
Yeah, it'd be nice. Except
not have to get up.
Is there any way, I was thinking about this yesterday, is there any way we can force the King of Mexico to work on Thanksgiving? Since he hates Thanksgiving and doesn't really want to celebrate it and thinks it's annoying and stupid.
He is the Thanksgiving Grinch, if there is such a thing.
I do feel like we need to come up with some sort of job that needs to be done in the office for about 12 hours on next Thursday.
Yeah, it has to be meaningless.
Absolutely.
Really just terrible work that doesn't need to be done.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we need to repaint the office walls twice, something like that.
So. First, paint them blue, and then paint them red.
Exactly. And no skipping, right?
Right.
Because he hates Thanksgiving, so why should he be off?
Agreed.
All right. Hey, before we get started on today's excellent new Kevin and Bean show that I'm very excited about, I want to start with a great story. In fact, this might be an outstanding opportunity to play a feature we play from time to time that we like to call You Be the Judge. Now, is that the echo or is that the reverb? Which one do we want?
That's reverb. It's reverb, and I think that's what we've decided is good.
Can I try? Do you mind, Muggs, if I try it with the echo, too?
Sure, sure. Give him a second.
All right, go for it.
This is a little feature that we like to call You Be the Judge.
Slow it down. Needs to be slow. Can't be.
I almost like that better.
Do you?
I almost did. Are you ready to try it again?
Yep.
You be the judge.
No, that's no good.
You went the wrong way. You went faster. Go slower.
Slower.
Yeah.
That's the slowest we got.
Try it again.
You be the judge.
You be the judge.
It's not bad.
What do you like?
I like it full time. First of all, I like it full time.
I guess you do the show like this all the time.
Because it's not annoying.
I like it.
All right, Kevin, here's the story. I want you to decide. Maybe you saw this.
Guilty!
It got a lot of, he is guilty. As a matter of fact, he definitely did it. But the question is, what should happen next? His name is Jeremy Gutch. He was flying from London to Singapore on Singapore Airlines last week. He bought internet on the plane from a company called On Air, kind of like our Boingo or any of these others that you can use in flight. He purchased a 30-megabyte in-air internet package for $28.99. Okay. Did his stuff on the internet, got off the plane, and found out that he had been hit with an additional $1,142.47 in overage charges. $1,100 in overage charges on his $29 internet package for this flight from London to Singapore, which, by the way, was probably more than the flight cost.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So
how do you get that big of a overage?
Well, here's what happened. The man, again, Jeremy Gutch is his name. He wrote that he used data to upload a 4-megabyte PowerPoint, and he said he made 155 page views, mostly to his email. He says video, which is usually what makes your bill go so out of control, did not even play a role. He said the Singapore Airlines internet was painfully slow, so videos would be impossible. So he complained to the airline. Singapore Airlines contacted the company that provides the internet service for them called On Air. They said he would have to pay the full amount. he says, look, this is what the company said on air. They told the Wall Street Journal, our service terms are entirely transparent, that it would have taken a lot more than basic email viewing. For example, he must have downloaded heavy attachments, used cloud access, used Skype, for instance. He says that there's a graph that constantly shows passengers how much data they've consumed, okay, and that users can choose for their sessions to end at a preset price limit and or disconnect at any time.
That was my question, is does he have an idea that he is in the overage area?
According to the company, he could have chosen to, like it said, end at a preset price limit or disconnect at any time, and that there's a graph that shows how much he's using. Now, we don't know, but do you think the guy was just sitting there and he saw that it went $500, $600, $800, $1,000, and he thought, well, that must be wrong. That's got to be a mistake. That can't be what it really is. Do you think that's what he was thinking?
No, I don't think that's possible, because if you saw that, you'd go, okay, this is wrong, but I'm not going to let it keep racking up.
Yeah, like I would think so, too. You would want to – so he says that it's unreasonable. Even if they were transparent and said this is how much we're charging,
it's still unreasonable. I agree.
It's completely excessive, and he should not have to pay it. So I ask the question again.
You be the judge.
Which isn't really a question. But if you were the judge, what would you rule?
I love that.
Is there such
buyer beware, or is it such an excessive charge that he shouldn't have to pay it?
Is there such a thing as telling a company that they're out of line and like overruling their charges? Because that seems like,
I mean,
if it's $29, you know, the overage might be another $29. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure if you use twice as much, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like $1,100 is way out of line.
So this is, in your mind, this is the equivalent of a company that's charging $10 for a little bottle of water in a riot, or, you know, in a snowstorm or something like that. You're gouging the customers because they're captive and they're stuck.
Yeah, but $100 for a bottle of water.
Right.
I mean, it just seems absurd.
So if you were ruling in this, you would say, hey, you're an idiot for using way more data than you were supposed to for the purchase, for the plan you purchased, but the company can't charge you that much, so we're going to settle someplace in the middle.
Yeah, I'd settle.
And you're going to pay $200 instead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd settle someplace closer to the guy and not to the company. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I think so. I agree with you, by the way. I think that's exactly what I would do. I don't know how they can justify $1,100 for if the guy was downloading video the whole flight. I don't know how you'd justify $1,100.
Maybe a little less you porn, huh?
Maybe so. Well, anyway, this has been
You Be the Judge.
You Be the Judge. You Be the Judge. You Be the Judge.
Let's talk about
Today's show.
In all seriousness, though, who cares about anything?
That's a good point.
We'll all be dead soon.
Yeah.
The LA Galaxy are in the playoffs. Western Conference Finals are Sunday against Seattle, where no one good lives.
That's a good team, though.
Talking to Landon Donovan. Yes, it is a good team. Right. We have, thanks for that info, Bean.
How?
Which.
Dare you.
I go through my handwritten notes, and I type them up so I can read them, because my handwriting is really terrible when Bean goes so fast. I'm not a stenographer, so I can't really keep up. So I typed it out yesterday, and I was just showing some of it to Chip, and she was just laying on the couch laughing. Some of the ridiculous stuff that you say off the air to us here in the studio.
You laugh or you cry. Those are your choices.
And I'm going to be the judge. Judge. When it comes to that. We also have the movie beat because it's Friday.
Fantastic.
Stephen Merchant.
Love him.
We'll be on the program talking about Hello Ladies, the movie.
Love him.
And R.J. Bell will be back to tell us what kind of black magic he's working to come up. I think it was 3-0 again last week with his picks.
I think so.
I want to ask him if he picked the Raiders last night. Because he picks them all, right, on his website?
I think so.
Yeah. I don't think anybody could have picked the Raiders last night. And
Cousin Sal picked the Raiders last night.
Did he really?
By the way.
What was the line?
I don't know. He picked the Raiders plus 7.5, so I assume that was the line.
Seven, I'm being told by Dave.
Seven, okay, yeah. So he picked the Raiders.
Wow.
And they won outright.
Which is absurd.
It's crazy. Against Kansas City, a team that all we've been doing is talking about how good they are.
And we have tickets for the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. That's coming up this morning. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
What's going on, man?
It's Friday, man.
It's Friday, man.
It sure the hell is.
Don't bogart that joint.
Just did that about 15 minutes ago.
Play that to start the show. We're not quite ready to end it yet.
No. Well, speak for yourself. Boy, there are a lot of confused hillbillies this morning. A lot of rednecks scratching their heads. Saying, I don't know what to think now.
Because the Raiders won a game?
Well, first of all, I don't know many white rednecks who are rooting for the Raiders.
All right, that's not it then.
I think it's because not one but two wildly popular country western male singers have come out as gay this week.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, can you imagine?
Oh, is that community?
What's going on in the honky-tonks right now?
Is that community a rough place to come out to?
Some guys are reaching for their gun racks and their pickup trucks, just petting the business end of a shotgun right up against their temple, saying, I don't know how to feel now.
I think both of these guys are safely past their prime, though, where it's not going to hurt them as much as it's not like Tim McGraw or somebody really popular today came out, you know?
Well, Ty Herndon certainly is a big star.
Yeah, I mean, not as big as he was, but yeah, I mean, he's a name. There's no question he's a name, and it was a surprise. I mean, somebody had to be brave enough to do it.
He came out as gay this week. And he said he's been in an awesome relationship with one lucky guy for several years. He was previously married to two women.
Hmm.
And apparently in the country western community, they're still encouraged to accept beards and keep it on the down low.
Hey, we watch Nashville, Ralph. We know what it's like.
That's
right.
Look
at Bill Lexington.
Because their fan base is not perhaps the most evolved when it comes to the LGBT community. And then Billy Gilman, who was a star as a little kid. I don't know, he was 10, 11 years old when he
ZZ
became
Top.
A country
That guy
star.
Is in ZZ Top.
No, That's he's crazy. Not in ZZ Top.
What? Billy Gibbons, Kevin.
Billy Gilman, One Voice was his big hit when he was a kid. He also has come forward and said publicly, on YouTube actually, in a video, how the country western community still encourages artists to lie about who they really are. So perhaps the last bastion of homophobia in the music industry. Starting to crumble a little bit, starting to weaken a little bit. It's a good sign.
I'd like to see a few more hip-hop artists come out, too, by the way, while we're on this.
Episode. Oh, you got a long time to wait there, son.
I know. I mean, Frank Ocean at least says he's bi, but...
I know.
There aren't many who will come out as just straight-up gay.
And isn't Caribbean Queen one of the great songs of all time? That's really one of my favorite artists.
That's Billy. That's Billy Ocean.
Get out of my head, into my car.
Nope. That's Billy Ocean again.
Good different, stuff. Different that Frank Ocean.
A lot of confusion
when
on
going
show,
gets tough,
like.
The tough gets going. Remember
Another
that from Romancing
Billy
the
Ocean?
Stones?
Yeah, Billy Ocean.
Frank Ocean, one of my favorite
Frank,
artists.
Not as, two
I'm
different guys.
Stunned.
Separate entertainers.
And surprised. Hey, Bill Cosby's losing more work. Well, that's what happens when you rape people.
How is that possible, allegedly?
A little biggie?
Say that.
I don't know. He's like one of the Cosby kids, like one of the characters from his animated show.
Bill's my dad.
Hey, bigger, fat, big Albert. What big you be gooby doobings? Hey, why you talk so dumb? I'm going to know me now. He was supposed to perform at a casino, an Indian casino in Arizona on February the 15th. They have since canceled his appearance. However, by all accounts, he's still set to perform tonight in Florida at another Indian casino. So if you've got backstage passes, don't drink the punch. That's all I'm suggesting to all you ladies out there. Just, if he offers you a cocktail, just say, no, thanks, Bill.
It is all going to end very soon for him, right?
Yeah.
Career, everything.
You think there are old people who, I mean, who else is going to see Bill Cosby in concert these days? You think there are old people who just, I don't believe what they're saying on TV. I love Bill Cosby. I'm going to go see him and enjoy his comedy.
I mean, I think there are a lot of older people that don't pay attention to the news that, yeah, just go, hey, he's always been a good guy, and I don't believe it. Probably.
And it looks like people who have the Dish Network, first of all, what are you thinking? But second of all, we'll be getting CBS... at least a little bit longer. The Hollywood Reporter says that the pair have agreed to a short-term extension for Dish Network to carry CBS networks, at least for a short period of time.
Well,
while they continue negotiations trying to hammer out their new contract.
That's good. I'm so tired of this.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Hey, you want to watch this? You got to call somebody.
They threaten you that you're going to lose your viewing. But all the CBS stations, you know, Showtime and CBS and others that were... they were threatening to pull that off from Dish. This would be the second time in a month that Dish has lost content, by the way. In October, Turner Broadcasting pulled CNN, Turner Classic Movies, and the Cartoon Network away from Dish.
Wow.
They don't have any of those right now. So, if you have the Dish Network, first of all, what are you thinking? But second of all, you'll be getting your CBS product for at least a little bit longer while they try to work things out. We're owned by CBS. You should do that as a full disclosure thing, right?
Sure.
We are a CBS company. CBS gives me a paycheck. Today's celebrity birthdays. Goldie Hawn, legendary movie actress, 69 years old today.
Oscar winner?
Yes. Singer Bjork is 49. Sadly, she has seen another birthday this year, but there's always hope.
Hmm.
TV host and former footballer Michael Strahan is 43 years old. Actress Jenna Maloney? Maloney?
Wait, which one is it?
I don't know.
Is it Janelle Maloney or Jenna Malone?
Jenna Malone.
Okay.
from Hunger Games, Mockingjay, 30 years old today. And singer Carly Rae Jepsen.
Oh.
Had the biggest hit in the world. Yeah. Would that call me maybe?
Hey, I just met you. This is crazy. But here's my number. So call me maybe.
And since then... Not so much.
Not so much, no.
She have a follow-up, Bean?
She did. She had another top 20 hit that was a duet with, of all people, Owl City.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Everybody wants to work with Owl City.
Beyond that, nothing else. What's your reaction when Call Me Maybe comes up on the radio today, now that we've had some distance from how sick of it we all were at the time?
First of all, never got sick of it. And second of all, cranking it up and shaking my groove thing.
I love it. I still love it when it comes on the radio. How about you, Kevin? Would you listen to it if it were on your ride home today?
Do I have to be honest?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I want to say no. I would never listen to that, but it's so effing catchy.
It's still good.
You just can't.
It is the cotton candy of music.
Yeah.
You say, well, I'm not going to eat. That's for children. Then you're at the fair, and you're like, give me a big cone of that fluffy pink stuff. That looks delicious. So happy birthday, Carly Rae Jepsen. I wonder how Kevin would say that if she was on the Grammys. Who was that other girl he couldn't say? It was...
Corinne Bailey, as he called her.
Corinne Bailey. We don't have any time. Oh,
it's a bit of a stretch, don't you think? I didn't know her name.
I think of the three names. Carly Rae Jepsen.
I can say Carly Rae Jepsen. I just couldn't say the other one.
I got it.
Come on.
Just a little bit. Just a little taste. Just give me a little taste.
Coming up next, an unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey. An unforgettable moment with Corinne. An unforgettable moment with Corinne Bailey.
Wow.
It's about a tenth of it.
It could be the same thing. Carly Jep Repson. Carly Red Jep Repson.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. What the hell?
Absolute pure genius.
Right on.
Fabulous.
Yep.
Stand up and applaud.
Oh, that was something else.
This one is top of the charts.
Yep. It sure was.
Ah, and is exquisite.
It's a good song.
And is orgasmic.
Yep.
Mozart-like. It's
yep.
just pure perfection.
Eve
beautiful.
Six.
All
six.
The chemicals are bubbling.
All right.
And all the equation comes out right in the end.
What? He's pretty excited about that Eve 6 song,
what
isn't he?
What happened there?
We just played Eve 6.
Someone
that happened.
Hit the wrong button. Beer Mug hit the wrong
nope.
button.
Nope.
We're not playing Eve 6
we
in 2014.
Are. You're incorrect.
That didn't happen.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Are we Jack? Do we just play what we want now?
Basically, yeah.
Or what we don't want?
So. We play what we don't want.
We're Jill. We're the opposite of Jack.
We play what we don't want to hear.
That
here
was
on Jill FM.
Certainly unexpected. Hey, listen, something called Thanks for the Info Bean is coming up. Also,
yeah!
RJ Bell from pregame.com in Las Vegas talks NFL.
Yeah!
But right now, it's Friday. That means it's time for the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
So the president of show business went to all the movie studios and said, hey, do you guys want to release anything the same weekend as Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1? And they're like, nah, we're good.
Let them have that weekend.
We're good. We'll back off. We're going to go. We got a lot of Thanksgiving prep to do for the big meal. We got to go out and get a turkey and stuff. So we're just going to take the weekend off. Because it's pretty much Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 and then some other things. Some stuff that they had in the bargain basement in the back of a drawer someplace that they hadn't released yet, and they got that.
This is, the rest of them are like, F that movie. Let's just release it against Mockingjay.
Three movies in limited release where they said, well, we're not going to make any money off this anyway,
right.
So we might as well just... These movies weren't released as much as they were escaped. So we're going to talk about these three limited release films, and then we'll talk about the big one, of course, Sleepwalker! Ah, Sleepwalker. Yes.
Never, not heard of it. The movie.
It's a film about a young couple whose life is turned upside down when one of the couple's sister and fiance shows up.
Both of them are sleepwalking?
I have no idea. Wow. Let's play some clips from the trailer and see if we can figure it out.
Babe? I think she's sleepwalking.
I don't know what she told you, but she has a hard time separating her fictions from reality.
Why are you being so hostile with me?
I'm very lucky to have him. I think it's the other way around.
I'm gonna go take a piss.
Good talk. Christine!
What's wrong?
Have you seen Chris?
No.
You were supposed to share things with me. You're not supposed to choose what you share and what you don't share.
What exactly did Chris say about her father?
I didn't understand any of that.
I got nothing. I got nothing for you.
Huh.
But,
so you said, is that a movie?
That's a movie.
All right.
But, also coming out this weekend is VHS Viral.
VHS Viral.
Right. Imagine, I know this is going to be a little bit of a stretch, so please bear with me, okay? Try to suspend your disbelief. Imagine a movie that's made up of video footage that is found that features horrible things happening. It's like a horror movie, but instead of taking the time and energy and talent to make a movie,
right.
You just shoot a bunch of stuff with a handheld camera and pretend like somebody found the video and it's filled with horror. I know it's a bold concept, but someone has gone ahead and done this.
Hasn't that been done 800 times in the last 20 years?
All right, my bad. Well, the 801st time is with us this weekend, and it's called VHS Viral, and somebody finds a VHS tape, and on the tape is a bunch of horrible stuff, and somehow it makes other people do horrible things.
Bet it's good.
Okay, here's the deal. We gotta break into this house, and all we have to do is steal this one VHS tape.
Welcome to the show.
Guys, come on!
Hold on to your tickets.
It's gonna be big now.
That's not a thing.
Ah!
All right, that's the joke one. What else you got?
That's for real. That happened. That's just... They can't be proud of themselves, can they, those people?
I can't imagine.
That's just so sloppy and lazy, right?
Yeah.
Come on. Look, I know times are tough. I know it costs a lot of money to make a movie, but do something. Just do something. That's all I'm asking you to do. Something.
You're not asking too much.
Now, this next film is actually pretty interesting, and you might be interested in catching this one. It is in limited release. It's called Happy Valley. And those of you who know the world of college football know that pertains, of course, to Penn State. It is a documentary that investigates the year after the Penn State University tragedy and scandal with assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky and his arrest on child sex abuse charges. So they're taking a look at the town and the university in a year after the scandal happened and
interesting.
How everyone reacted and what's going on there now. Here are some clips from the trailer of Happy Valley.
30 games without a loss for this team from the hills of Pennsylvania.
Joe Paterno was Penn State. He built this place.
In this town, God is Joe Paterno. But then Jesus would be Jerry.
Jerry Sandusky has been sentenced to at least 30 years behind bars.
Sandusky targeted at least 8 boys.
Joe Paterno is no longer the head football coach.
What we did as a community to enable this.
Why did it happen? How did we not see it?
Paterno's name will be removed from the championship trophy.
And that stars Jennifer Lawrence?
No. That's just a documentary. Oh. Right. And then there is a little film called Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1. It is the third in, as Stephen Colbert said, the rare 4-film trilogy. Jennifer Lawrence returns as Katniss, and she's just kicking ass and taking names at this point. I tell you, she's got a message for President Snow, and another one for President Coin, and all the presidents that are named after things are going to get a comeuppance from this young lady. I tell you this. Here are some clips from the trailer of The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1.
I never wanted any of this. I never wanted to be in the games. I just wanted to save my sister and keep PETA alive.
Miss Everdeen, it's the things we love most that destroy us.
I want everyone who's watching to lay down their weapons now.
You're alive.
You will rescue PETA at the earliest opportunity, or you will find another Mockingjay.
She loves PETA. I mean, Bean likes animals, and right. Elise likes animals, but she is more into people against, for the ethical treatment of animals.
That's a guy's
than
name.
Anybody else I've ever met.
The guy's name
she's
is PETA.
She's kicking. She's
talking about
stuff
a person.
Down
yeah.
just
it's
for
not
PETA.
About an organization.
It's one thing to throw paint on someone's fur coat, but to actually destroy buildings and to blow things up in the name of PETA.
PETA's the name
I,
of
for one, cannot, as a broadcaster, responsibly admit that I will
the
say
the guy's name
yes
is PETA that she's talking about.
Things
that's his
that
name.
Are represented or put forth as okay. a treatise by the particular people involved in the production of this piece of entertainment.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's movie beat.
.7 K Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:43.
Were they sampling Tom's Diner?
I don't know what's going on with everything we're playing.
From that, what's that girl's name?
Suzanne Vega.
Suzanne Vega.
Yeah. That one. Yeah.
We're in a freaking time machine today.
We are. I know it's weird. Hey, real quick, you guys. 10 o'clock this morning. 10 o'clock this morning. 10 o'clock this morning. That's the deadline if you want to enter to be Miss Double December 2015. By now, you know what that's all about. Get all the details. Entry forms at krock.com. What are we doing now? What's the BS we got scheduled here?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Dare you.
Bean bombards us with stuff off the air while you're listening to music or anything else.
Or commercials or whatever. It's brutal.
We have to listen to Bean. And so
Bean makes pleasant office conversation with his coworkers who are his friends, is what you mean.
That's what Bean thinks. And so we try to clarify with a feature we call...
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Everything Bean just said was wrong. The entire statement was wrong.
There's not one thing he said that's correct. He has, because he has Asperger's, he has problems being able to tell if we're interested or not. So let's try and clarify just a bit. I wrote these down verbatim. Okay. Is everybody as excited as I am about the new Bob Seger album out today?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Guys, we work in an industry where music is a thing that we all have in common. We all love music.
Or do you not know that Ralph wasn't even in the room, so he doesn't even count that Muggs and I are excited about Bob Mother Effin' Seger?
I mean, I didn't know until I asked. I thought it was possible that maybe you're also a fan as I am.
No, you didn't.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
You knew they wouldn't be.
So you think just wasted words in that case, 30 seconds later.
Oh my God! Bob Seger's on my TV right now. and then I write down our reactions, and I say, "Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!" And Bean pauses, and then he says, "I love Bob Seger so much."
I do.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Stop it! Stop it!
Nobody needs a shower more than Daryl from The Walking Dead.
No, that's a reasonable.
We don't need further clarification.
We all love The Walking Dead.
We talk about The Walking Dead. Why can't we make
a comment about a character?
So no one said anything, and then being continued, he looks more dirty than anyone else.
Oh, man.
Hey guys, this is gonna kill you, Ralph. You know, Bean loves radio. Except for the show.
Right. Everyone in radio, he's fascinated by, except for the people he works with.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I'm doing it in my voice. Hey, guys. Today, the 6th radio station in the country flipped all Christmas music.
I'm glad the 6th one.
How does he know that? First of all,
and how do you draw the line at number 6 is when you're going to start reporting on the Christmas station?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
I just like to stay current. That's all.
I'm sure it will double by the end of the day.
It is that time of year where the station started going to all Christmas, and I just think it's fascinating to watch that Christmas
unfold
across the country.
Now there are things that Bean knows that we're not into and does on purpose, like this. Kevin, did you get the new Johnny Mathis box set with 13 new unreleased songs on it? I don't say anything.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
And how do you think Bean ends that one?
I love Johnny Mathis so much.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Maybe there's an argument to be made that was a miss.
Oh, I wish we had more time. I still have more, but I have to cut out half of them.
What's next?
We'll drop the Eve 6
You're
song
gonna
that we played
love
next.
This one, Ralph.
I will gladly give up Showbiz Beat for more of these.
Did you guys see? We're going to have our first female Postmaster General.
Now that's interesting.
To whom?
Not us!
America!
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Then he says, why do I feel like this is being written down right now? And then Muggs sings, thanks for that info, Bean. And then Bean continues. I feel like it's always news when it's a first.
Right, isn't it?
Thanks for that info, Bean.
Or apparently when it's the 6th in terms of radio stations flipping doll Christmas music.
I just found it significant.
Stop it!
We're going to have a female post.
Thanks for that info, Bean.
No one in this world, including the first female Postmaster General, cares about the Postmaster General.
Her name's Megan Brennan.
Who cares?
Okay.
And finally, Ralph, you're going to love this one so much. A friend of mine just sent me a photo of the world's largest file cabinet.
F you, but F your friend twice as hard.
Bean sucks. That info, Bean.
Well, I'm Nick Pagliocchini with a look at your drive for K-Rock.
Thank you, Nick. It's world famous K-Rock at 6:53.
Pagliocchini! Trevor.
We'll talk NFL Week 11 with our friend RJ Bell out in Las Vegas at pregame.com coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
We've got to get Nick a jingle, man. I dig Nick.
Lisa's back on Monday.
Whatever with her. Nick's the man.
Should we just play Nick's jingle for Lisa as well?
Yes.
Okay.
We don't have to have Lisa back, right?
Yes, we do.
We want to have Lisa back. We love Lisa, and we miss Lisa.
But enough with the Lisa. Jeez, how many years has it been Lisa?
Have a little breath of fresh air. Have a little Nick once in a while.
Give me
some Nick.
You got Nick this week.
And you know what else about Nick? Can't say no. That's what I've heard.
I've heard that too. Yeah.
Nick Pagliocchini.
Trevor.
No, that's a different Nick.
Oh.
Speaking of, thanks for that info, Bean.
My friend just sent me a photo of the world's largest file cabinet.
I can't believe Bean's not just dissolved in a puddle of tears right now. He's not pre-sad about this announcement.
Tell me.
Barry Manilow is calling it quits.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't have an alert that tickets go on sale for the Seattle show at noon today.
He is heading out on a farewell tour throughout 2015, giving his fans one last chance to see him on stage. He says,
"Pizza first, burst."
Kicks off on February 11th in Omaha, Nebraska, and then wraps up in Brooklyn, New York, his hometown, on June the 17th. And then no more Barry Manilow ever.
That's what he says.
That's pretty awesome.
So sweet.
He's retiring.
That is nice.
All I wanted to do was live long enough to see Barry Manilow stop making music. That's all I wanted out of my life.
Have you ever seen him in concert?
Right. Why? In the name of the sweet green earth, would I ever want to see Barry Manilow live in concert?
He's an outstanding entertainer.
Does he, by any chance, play the music of Barry Manilow when he's in concert?
Well, certainly, of course.
Well, then
that
would be a great drawback for my experience.
Barry Manilow, what a joke.
So stupid
and boring as hell.
Yeah, no kidding.
You couldn't pay me to go to that thing. Just look at all the idiots.
All the dumbass Manilow fans.
Right? Wow, that hurts.
But he looks good lately. At least that's good.
I haven't seen him lately.
He looks like an elderly aunt of yours.
Oh, no.
Yes. Who's a bobblehead. If you had an elderly aunt who was also a bobblehead, that would give you an idea what Barry Manilow looks like now.
He has had terrible plastic surgery over the years.
Yes.
He's done so much to his hair that it just looks like straw. And he weighs about 70 pounds.
He looks like a Jewish cake pop. A human cake pop.
I'm a fan of Lo, and I'm not embarrassed to say it, and I will go see this final tour.
You know what? You could use a little bit more embarrassment in your life, I think. If you were embarrassed to say
just
more things,
a bit.
You'd be better off. Because you would keep some things to yourself.
Not sure that always serves you.
Your love for Johnny Mathis would go unspoken if you were just a little bit more embarrassed about things.
Noted.
This is pretty exciting. We may have the world's first X-Men type mutant superhero for reals.
What do you mean for reals?
What did I just say?
You said for reals.
That's right.
Okay.
Nicholas Kryaglienchko. Kryaglienchko. Nicholas. Let's call him Nicholas.
Let's call him Nicholas. Or Nick.
12-year-old Russian boy was walking home from school, leaned against a Russian lamppost that had bad wiring. Stunning that something in the Russian infrastructure would be in decay. But it shocked him.
Okay.
He woke up the next day to get out of bed and found some coins that had been lying on the mattress had stuck to his body. When he was having breakfast, the spoon came off the table and stuck to his chest. He has become a living magnet.
Awesome.
He says he cannot control his cool new power. And no one knows how to reverse it.
He can't control it yet. You learn. You go to
Professor X's school, right?
He teaches you that.
You become the Russian Magnet.
Right.
Or we come up with a better cool superhero name for you. Magnitsky. Magnitsky. He's got magnet powers.
That's pretty cool.
It's pretty awesome.
I see a story like that every couple of years, Ralph, where somebody gets magnetized. It's crazy. It's a real thing that happens.
I know. It's so cool.
It is awesome.
Can lift cars and stuff with his hand.
Well, that may be in the when he learns how to control it.
A couple weeks from now, but still. And porn star Kim Kardashian has said that she would support her daughter North if she posed naked when she got older.
It's Kim Kardashian West.
I'm sorry. Kim Kardashian West told Us Weekly magazine that it would, I quote, be cool. If North posed naked when she got older.
That's inappropriate.
Yeah, that's
well off base.
Can't wait for my little girl to be old enough to start doing porn.
That would be so cool if she was naked, like I am all the time, and all my sisters.
Whoever asked the question was probably trying to embarrass her or, you know, whatever, and didn't expect her to go, yep, looking forward to it.
Here's why Kim thinks it'll be cool. It empowered me to feel good about myself after I gained 500 pounds and looked like a huge slob for so long.
When she was pregnant?
Yeah. Regarding her paper magazine cover.
Right.
No one has asked North's father, Kanye West, if he thinks it would be cool if his daughter posed naked. Usually fathers have a different opinion about that.
Although he is Kanye West.
He is. That's right. And he probably thinks she's a creative genius if she showed her ass.
That's nice for all the pregnant ladies that Kim Kardashian is talking about, how she looked like a fat slob while she was pregnant, by the way.
All the pregnant ladies. All the pregnant ladies. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Goldie Hawn, 69 years old today. Singer Bjork turns 49. Michael Strahan, you know him from the New York Giants for many years. In the Hall of Fame, by the way. Yeah. Football Hall of Fame, that Michael Strahan.
And an excellent broadcaster.
He's really good Michael with Kelly Strahan in the mornings and also good on the football.
Very talented.
Pre-show in the weekends. 43 years old today. Jenna Malone currently can be seen in Hunger Games Mockingjay. She's 30 years old. And singer Carly Rae Jepsen, or as Kevin calls her, Rarley K. Kepson.
Hey, I just met you. This is crazy. But here's my number.
What should I do?
So call me maybe.
She's 29 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I'm getting a little bit worried about RJ Bell.
Why are you worried? He couldn't be doing any better. He's been on 10 weeks with us. 9 of them have been winning weeks, Kevin. He was 3-0 again last week.
Right. No one does that. Does he have a pact with the devil? What's up with his black magic?
RJ Bell is the founder of pregame.com on Twitter at RJ in Vegas, and we welcome him back to the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. Hey, RJ, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. I don't know. I'm just not going to change anything. You know, I was thinking of not changing my shirt, but my wife didn't go for that. But we're going to keep doing what we're doing, and the streak's been amazing. I mean, 11-1 the last 4 weeks, and on the whole time, we're at 80% now, 24-6. But we must do the disclaimer.
Yeah, right, I know.
One of these days, you're going to screw it up and go 0-3, blah, blah, blah.
Hey, listen, it's not BS.
It's not BS. That's why we bought it the first 6 times.
But listen, we got new listeners. You know, you guys, a huge audience, obviously. But I think we got to keep in mind the best guys win about 55% of the time. That's my goal. But
no, the best guys win 80% of the time because that's where you're at right now, RJ. Listen, did you pick the Raiders over the Kansas City Chiefs last night? That was not a game we discussed last week, but did you pick them last night?
We did lean that way. It would not have been the best bet. It wouldn't have made the card. But anytime you're – and that will be a theme this week, which is taking the points, because these are all professional teams. So usually if you're getting a big number, that's where the value is.
Wait a minute, though. You're saying the Raiders are a professional team?
Well, we saw it yesterday, didn't we? They won.
All right, let's talk about RJ's Week 12 NFL picks, and we'll start with the underdog special. Now, this one is going to be very controversial for people who have been impressed with how the Patriots have played the last 4 weeks. Tell me what you got with them versus Detroit.
Yeah, so we're going with Detroit +7, a full touchdown underdog special. And this is the theme of the week, is no team is as good as their best performance. And the Patriots have been dominant lately, averaging over 40 points per game their last 6 games. And even better in New England, winning 42 of 45 regular season home games. 42 of 45.
That's astonishing.
There's nothing not to like about the Pats right now. And that public love, guys, is why they are laying a full touchdown against a 7-3 Detroit team that has the number one defense in the NFL, number one in yards, and number one in points given up. And as an added bonus here, it's reasonable to question New England's motivation. They are in what the handicappers call a sandwich spot. Last week, they played a bigger game against Andrew Luck and the Colts. And next week, they travel to Green Bay to face Aaron Rodgers. We're taking Detroit +7 as the underdog special.
That's
I am too. I don't question it. I believe that wholeheartedly.
He is RJ Bell. All right, we move on next to your best bet. This is a conference rivalry between Minnesota and Green Bay.
Well, if you felt the pain on the last one, you're going to really feel the pain on this one. Minnesota plus 9.5 versus Green Bay.
Didn't Green Bay just score like 50 against the Eagles?
It's great to have you guys on. You are the voice of the common man right now.
And
that's what we want to fade, because let's be honest, you guys are plugging into the emotions that are typical, and I would have too if it wasn't something that I did professionally.
But it's not just emotions. They did score 52 points against the Eagles.
But haven't we seen in the NFL unequivocally that teams 1 week look great, next week they... And listen, Green Bay's one of the best teams in the NFL. No doubt about it. No team is hotter, and they've been doing it in front of the world on national TV. They lead the league in scoring, over 33 points per game. And Green Bay has done well historically as a big favorite. They've won 10-12 against the spread when laying a touchdown or more. But here's the shocking stat of the week. Green Bay has been outgained by their opponents this season. Think about that. Green Bay has gained less yards than their opponents, but we remember those dominant images from the television. Keep in mind, every one of these teams, as we said, are professionals, and there's just not extreme differences between these teams. And here's the stat that really backs this up. When you have a home team getting a really big number, that's where the value is. NFL home underdogs getting more than 8 points are 26-9 against the spread. Every one of those home underdogs weren't a very good team. That's why they were getting over 8 points at home. Every opponent in that trend was a really good opponent. That's why they were laying a big number. Still, though, 26-9 with the home underdog. That's the way we're going this week with Minnesota.
Minnesota plus 9.5.
All right, and the final one with RJ Bell again. You can follow along for this and all the goings on in the sports world at pregame.com. And this is the biggest shocker to see on your site this morning for me, RJ, is that Arizona at 9-1 is an underdog going into Seattle this weekend? Well, what?
Not only an underdog, a 7-point, a full touchdown underdog. That's the biggest underdog we have on record, and we've got 25 years of data for a team with a 9-1 record. And
is that a lot of people just going, I'm not buying it from Arizona?
I think there's that. I think it's the defending Super Bowl champions with Seattle, and people really connect emotionally to that. And also, Seattle is really, really good at home. They have the best home field advantage in the NFL. During the Russell Wilson era at home, Seattle has won 21 of 23 games. But one of those losses came against Arizona last season. And Arizona has consistently exceeded expectations. Last 19 games, they've lost only 3 against the spread of those 19. And Seattle just is not as good as last season. They've had player losses, they've had injuries, and now there's locker room conflicts. And there's one advance factor that's really in our favor here. Seattle needs to run the ball to be effective. But Arizona has the third best rushing defense in the league. Arizona has not allowed a 100-yard rusher for 20 straight games. So in the big game, we're taking Arizona plus the 7.
At some point, Kevin, people are going to have to just accept that Arizona is for real. I mean, if they're 4-1 or 5-1 or 6-1, you can go, well, eventually this is going to run out. By the time it gets to this point in the season and they're still winning every week, they're legit.
But you know why I think people, why I'm hesitant to, and I'm from Arizona, RJ, is that they don't have superstars like all the other teams. If Fitzgerald, maybe, that everybody knows. And after that, you pretty much haven't heard of most of the players, but I think they're... they play well together as a team, chemistry.
Think about the way that plugs into the way we handicap the games, which is the public reacts emotionally, what's on SportsCenter, what's on the cover of the newspaper, and that affects the price of these teams, because the betting market is like a stock exchange. It's what is the price, and what do you do with stocks? You want to buy low, and right now Arizona is low relative to how good they are and that 9-1 record.
You have taught us a little something here today, RJ. We're using a little more brain, a little less heart is what most of us should be doing when we're picking our NFL game. So the underdog special is Detroit plus 7 at New England. Best bet is Minnesota plus 9.5 hosting Green Bay. And the big game is Arizona plus 7. That's at Seattle. You can follow RJ on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. And I hope you've been hearing from our listeners, by the way, who have been taking your picks to the bank, RJ.
Yeah, we've had a couple of tickets, parlays, guys betting 3-teamers when they come to Vegas. So there's been a lot. I will say this. Twitter, you know, as we all know, can be shaky sometimes.
Sure.
But the feedback from your audience has been wonderful.
Well, I'm telling you right now, if you go 3-0, I don't want to talk to you anymore. You scare me.
All it takes to have people on Twitter like you is 80%. If you could just do that.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Pregame.com. RJ, have a great week. We'll talk to you next time, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Keep on listening for your chance to win your way into the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. By the way, we're going to be giving away tickets to night number 2 coming up in a little bit. That's Alt-J, Imagine Dragons, Modest Mouse, Smashing Pumpkins, Vance, Joy, Tears for Fears, Weezer, U2, and a little band called Interpol. Have you guys been seeing what's been going on with Interpol the last
year? Yes, crazy.
Stuck on their tour bus in Buffalo. Now, they're having a snowstorm of the century there in Buffalo right now. And they were not in a parking lot at the hotel or at the venue or something like that. They were on the highway when they had to pull over in the snow, as I understand it. And just basically were surrounded by snowdrifts and were stuck in that location for more than 2 days, like 50-something hours, living in their bus.
That's not ideal, right?
It's horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the storm of the century. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. They're getting more storm in, you know, more snow in a week than most places get all winter long. But they have been live tweeting the event from the bus, and apparently just yesterday they broke free and are at a hotel now, and we are going to be talking to Daniel Kessler, the guitarist for Interpol, coming up in about 10 minutes or so, and find out what that must have been like. Look, you can love your bandmates. You don't want to live with them on a bus for 2 days in a snowstorm.
Unable to do anything else.
Right.
Just if you're in a hotel, you could go to your own room, you could wander around. They're just sitting there in traffic.
And I got to ask, Kevin, and I don't mean to be indelicate about this, and I know that it is mornings and whatnot, but
what
about the no number 2 policy on a bus? That's got to go out. I mean, you got no choice, right?
Well, I mean,
if you're in a bus for 2.5 days.
But then you're still in the bus.
I know, but what's your choice?
Go outside. Go outside is your choice.
Snow is 6 feet tall.
Well,
you can't go outside and poop.
Go outside.
Anyway, we'll talk to Daniel from Interpol. That's coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Just a terrible, tragic storm. I mean, it's their own fault for being in Buffalo in November, but still, you don't expect a storm like that. All right, changing gears. Very excited to welcome back to the program one of our very favorite writer and comedians and actors. He, of course, is the genius behind, co-creating such shows as The Office and Extras, and, of course, Hello Ladies on HBO, which returns for a Hello Ladies movie tomorrow night. Ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Merchant on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Stephen.
Hey, guys. Mr. Merchant, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good.
Well, we're doing great. We're excited to talk to you, and I'm frankly a little bit confused how the Hello Ladies movie came to be. Why did HBO not just let you do more series, the Hello Ladies? Well, I don't get it.
You'll need to get them on the phone to answer that one.
Hmm.
I never understand how the mechanics of TV work in that regard. But they said to me, you know, you can do this Hello Ladies movie. And I'm like, I'm just pleased they're letting me work, you know. So I was like, yeah, sure, okay.
I thought it might have been one of those deals where it seems like for some reason in the UK you guys do a series and after two seasons you're out, you're done and moving on to something else. I didn't know exactly what was going on.
Well, certainly I often do get bored or I feel like an idea has run out of steam. So that we have often done that in the past, but no, in this instance that came from their direction.
Huh.
And but they, I was very pleased that I was able to sort of to do it as a movie and approach it like a movie. So I tried to make this, if you hadn't seen the season, you could enjoy this as a standalone thing. But if you had, hopefully it's satisfying as well. And I'm very pleased with it.
Well, your character, Stuart, that you play is one of the most awkward characters that's ever been on television. And I know that you're a creative, funny guy and you're an actor and you're able to play another person. But is there any similarity to the awkwardness that Stuart feels to how you were, coming up, growing up, interacting with women and whatnot?
Well, basically, yeah, he's a kind of awkward British nerd who's no good with girls. And it's a role I've been researching since I was I hit puberty. Certainly, yeah. I never felt like I was a player when I was a teenager and in my early 20s. And it took me a long time, I think, to sort of get comfortable in my own skin. And so that was sort of the stuff I drew on for this character. And to me, but it's funny, much as I understand that he's awkward and that a lot of the moments are cringeworthy, I never set out to make people just feel uncomfortable. My plan is always to make them laugh. And I just think sometimes you know, I just skirt very close to just making people feel sort of scared or nervous about what's going to happen next. But I hope that's also because they're invested in the world, you know, and that's why they feel that.
Yeah, they don't want
that empathy.
They don't want bad things to happen to Stuart.
Right, exactly.
I feel a great empathy for you in real life, Stephen, and Stuart, your character also, because I am almost as tall as you. I'm a little bit over 6'6", and I know what is involved in trying to navigate in the world like that. Don't you wish you could give up, as I do, 6 or 8 inches and just be, quote-unquote, normal size?
I, like you, you know, I've been a lot of people's heights. You know, I've been 5'4", I've been 6 foot at one point, and I think, as a man, I would, don't know about you, but I feel like 6'4" is probably the top end of what you should
be.
I think, so I remember being 6'4", I was like, yeah, this is a good height, I'll happily sit here.
And how tall are you now?
I'm 6'7".
6'7", yeah. That's rough, dude. So, that is rough.
Yeah.
Although, at concerts, you can see well, but you block the people behind you.
You block the people behind you. I went to the theater the other night. I had to apologize to the people that were sat behind me before I even sat down. Nothing's made for you when you're this tall. You know, the beds and stuff, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
Getting on planes is a pain.
Yep. Yeah.
You know?
I've hit my head so many times. Oh, my God. A lifetime of concussions.
It's an accomplishment because most people would like to be tall, so they have no sympathy for you.
Yeah, true.
Right. All right, Stephen Merchant is on the line. We're talking about Hello Ladies, the movie, which airs tomorrow night at 10 on HBO. I want to ask you a couple of other questions from your fans, Stephen, because I thought this was fascinating that you're doing this on Twitter. You're doing Ask Merchant as a hashtag, and I really want to hear your answers to a couple of these questions real quick. One of your fans writes in, Duran Duran, best thing ever to come out of England? What say you?
No, I don't think Duran Duran are the best thing to have come out of England. I mean, I think I'd probably put Shakespeare just above.
But barely.
Duran Duran. I mean, barely. It's a fine line.
Right. Next question, and I think you'll know where this is coming from. I was just wondering, Stephen, will there ever be a boy born who can swim faster than a shark?
Yeah, that was a line that we wrote for one of the characters in The Office. It's amazing to me people still remember these lines.
Yeah.
I don't believe there will be a boy born faster who can swim faster than a shark, no.
All right, and final question. How long could you survive in the Old West?
In the Old West?
Yes.
I would be done for immediately, because I am, without my glasses, basically I'm blind as a bat. So I think what would happen is either I wouldn't have glasses, or they would, like, get knocked off when I fell off my horse. They'd get crushed. Then I'd essentially be blind. I'd need to rely on the kindness of strangers. They'd steal my money. They'd leave me stranded in the desert.
Yeah.
I would last 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, the Old West is no place for you. I think you're right. I think you need civilization, Stephen. I think you're right.
All right, the show looks great. Hello, Ladies, the movie, it airs tomorrow night on HBO. It's so funny. And seriously, if you missed it a first time, or if you didn't see the episodes of season one of Hello, Ladies, please go back and watch it. It is hilarious, and I'm excited about the movie tomorrow night. And it's great to have you on the program again, Stephen. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, guys.
You bet.
Night number two of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas features the band Interpol. We were just telling you a couple minutes ago, they have had a hell of a week stuck on their bus in the Buffalo snowstorm of the century. Mercifully, they have been freed, and they're in a hotel. The guitarist for Interpol joins us on the phone right now, Daniel Kessler on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Daniel.
Hey, how are you?
Well, good. First of all, thank you so much for talking to us, and thank God you guys are okay. Can you believe this happened to you?
No, I mean, you know, no one's really expecting this, and we knew there'd be a little bit of snow when we were heading out from Columbus after we played Monday night, but, you know, we thought it'd just be like a small amount, and, I think even Tuesday morning when, you know, we were kind of optimistic that, you know, it'd be, they'd be able to clear and we keep going because no one called that, you know, no one predicted this sort of storm at all, and, down, I think in Buffalo, they actually, like where we are now, waiting our next movements and for roads to open and so forth. They got less than a foot of snow. Yeah, where we were, they had, like, you know, between, like, 4 and 6 feet of snow. So it's kind of crazy that only, like, 2 miles away from where we were standing for a few days, they had, like, barely any snow, you know?
That's so interesting to hear you say that, because I've been watching a lot of the coverage on TV, and they make it look like the entire city is just under 6 feet of snow. I didn't know that there was so much disparity depending on what part of town you were in. That's crazy.
It's south of Buffalo where, I mean, this is what the person at the cafe when I was finally able to go and get like a coffee essay told me and stuff like that. But that's, it was really south of Buffalo that got really
hit. Is that where the football stadium is? Because that is completely under snow.
I'm not really sure.
Not sure.
Yeah, their move it for folks.
It went north. I mean, I should say it went north afterwards, but, you know, we were very much like kind of south was where I think that got the brunt of it.
All right. So where were you guys when it became impossible to travel further? Were you on the road, like just driving down the road, and it just got so snowy you had to pull over?
Basically, it was like a line of vehicles, and we couldn't make it beyond that point, and so we couldn't get to. It was a few miles from Buffalo, and then everyone was just waiting pretty patiently, and then it started kind of like the snow. Then there was like everyone got pretty excited when there was like a plow for the first time to the left of the bus, and then I think everyone had a sense of optimism, but then by the next morning, we just moved it like a very, very, very small amount, and then we were basically stuck in the on a road. I should say much better than most people, really, in a town called Lackawanna.
Yeah, like is that where the news started coming out of people actually dying from this storm? I mean, that seems awful.
Yeah, I didn't. It wasn't until we weren't sleeping like a ton, and when I was reading like online the next day, it wasn't until like that I realized that. I think at first the first number was 4 people, and then you kept seeing the amount rising. So it was really
it's up to 12 now, Daniel. Wow.
Yeah, I know. Today it's just so it's really that's what I mean. Like I think it's. We had a situation, but we had a very good compared to most people,
Absolutely. Yeah, let's keep it all in perspective. I mean, you guys are fine, and other people, this is the worst thing that ever happened to them. So how many people are in your bus then at this time?
I think there was like 7 of us.
7 of you. And it ended up being over 50 hours you guys were trapped in that location before you could move again?
It was something like that. I kind of stopped counting once we finally were able to step off the bus yesterday morning. So, yeah, it was something like that until that moment. And basically, I mean, essentially there was, after we played a show Monday night in Columbus, we boarded the bus. And then, we knew we were going to cross the border. Or we were hopeful we were going to cross the border at some point during the middle of the night. And then it wasn't until, and I kept thinking, oh, man, they let us through the border. Oh, they're not actually, because usually, typically when you're going into Canada, they ask you to descend from the bus, and they check your papers and so forth.
Right.
And I kept feeling the bus stopping here and there intermittently, and I just kept thinking, oh, man, they're letting us go through this time. And it wasn't until, early next morning that I realized that, now we're just very much stuck in snow. And then I think I even had a bit of a sense of optimism when the driver told me, our driver Vince, who's been great this whole time, told me that, oh, no, just a few miles ahead of us, there actually is Buffalo, and there's no – they don't really have any snow yet. All right, I think at that point they had no snow at all. So
Wow. Obviously
it came a little bit later when things moved north.
Of course,
I was optimistic that they'd arrive and they'd plow the snow and then we'd be able to move forward. But then lo and behold.
So what do you have for supplies in a bus, just going city to city when you're not expecting to have to spend the night in it?
Well, I mean, I feel like that's part of the reason why obviously we had it much better than most people because, we live on the bus. So essentially you always have some supplies. You always have water and coffee and things like that and things from your rider that that you want. So it's like we had supplies. We had food. I mean, I definitely ate a lot of peanut butter and still have a strong affinity towards it. But like those things. I mean, like most people, if we had no idea we're going to hit a storm, but we still had supplies to live because this is kind of where we live. I can only imagine for those who just weren't, expecting this. It was really incredibly harrowing for them.
Not to make light at all of a serious situation where people did die, but if I'm in the car behind the bus, your bus, I'm knocking on the door. I'm seeing what you have. Did that happen?
Well, the thing about where we were standing, it was the first night where we basically came to a halt, it was right by a kind of a convenience store and a coffee place and so forth, like a gas station, if you will. And I think a lot of people were going there and hanging out. I didn't step off the bus. I just stayed on the bus because I just, I didn't really have any clothes that should even be suitable to walk in the snow. I was thinking we weren't supposed to stop in Buffalo. We're supposed to go through Buffalo and then go up to a show in Toronto and Montreal, and then I'll make our way south eventually back to the States. So it's like it's only a couple stops that are going to get kind of extremely cold. But besides that, usually I know exactly what I need to be on tour. So I wasn't expecting this. But
right, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are used to being in pretty close quarters. You've been a band for a long time. You've crisscrossed this country many times. How do you feel you guys did getting along with one another in such tight quarters for so long?
I think we did really well. I mean, it was everyone kept a good sense of calm and camaraderie the whole time. And, you know, I think, you know, we're friends. And I think we kind of enjoyed, like, hanging out and made the most of it. And no one, like, I mean, obviously everyone has a bit of cabin fever, but everyone was kind of in it together. And it was, you know, we kept it cool. It was definitely, you know, I think I like those guys a lot, and I like spending time with them, and so we didn't really get sick of each other or anything like that. And
that's a miracle.
That's the situation. Yeah, we've been doing this for a little while, so I think if you're going to hit any of those, like, testing points, you would have hit them by now.
Look, I like Bean and all, but I do not want to spend 50 hours on a bus with him.
No, that's tough.
That's too much.
What'd you do for entertainment, Daniel? You had internet, right? So you could surf the web all you want, play games, that sort of thing. You got video games in there, too?
I'm not much of a video game person, so really, like, watch a lot of SportsCenter and, like, you know, watch some films once in a while when it came on and stuff like that. So we did have, like, TV. We were fortunate, like, that we were able to, like, kind of watch the news and things like this. And,
right.
And then we just, like, hung out. I mean, really just, like, talked and just kind of were very patient the whole time.
Did you write any new songs?
I did not. That was, you know, I didn't really have a guitar for me to do so. And then I did not. Paul was actually productive. Paul did work on some new stuff on his own. And,
oh, he's got three new solo albums coming out next week as a result of this stayover, right?
Yeah. All inspired by one theme.
All right. If it came down to it, and thank God you guys were okay, but if it came down to you and somebody was going to be eaten first, who do you think it would have been in the band?
Well, I feel like our bass player, Brad, like right away, like hour one was like, Brian, our tour manager. So we went right to the tour manager.
good
spirits. The guy worked, you know, he's still working incredibly hard to figure out the next, you know, steps, and just we're playing everything, you know, minute by minute, trying to see if Rose can be open and so forth. But it was so out of playfulness, we said, you know, the tour manager.
Well, it's good to know. I think it's good to decide that up front while people are still in a good mood, because that way it doesn't seem so bad when it comes down to it. You know what I mean? Because you all agreed ahead of time. So I think that's good thinking there. Well, we're so happy that you're all right and so grateful that you had a chance to call us. And this night number two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, we're so excited to see you. You guys know it's Smashing Pumpkins that night and Tears for Fears and U2 and Weezer and Imagine Dragons. It's going to be a great night, right?
Yeah, no, it's right now playing a rock show feels, you know, kind of exotic, and I can't wait to do so. But it sounds like it's going to be like a really, it's a tremendous lineup, and it should be a lot of fun.
Daniel Kessler is the guitarist for Interpol, and if you have not yet picked up El Pintor, their latest album, it is great, and we can't wait to see you next month, man. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you. And I should also say that one of our drivers, Red, is actually still stuck in traffic, and he hasn't been able to move since Monday. So, like,
oh my God,
in a much less fortunate situation than us, obviously. And we're all, like, thinking about him, and he's been very, very patient in this ordeal and, you know, fighting the good fight here.
Sorry, Red, if you tuned in, man. Sorry. Good luck. Stay strong.
Thank you, Daniel. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate it, too.
106.7 K-Rock.
Oh my God.
KROQ, it's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:56.
He's just foul on every level. He's like a beast.
I'm starting to not believe in Santa Claus, because we all keep asking for the same thing every year, and Santa never brings it, which is fire beer mug.
For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Kevin, tell them what you just told me.
I just walked out of the studio.
Right.
And Mug shouted, almost in desperation, "Don't use the bathroom!"
Because he destroyed it. He destroyed the bathroom.
But is that worse than me not telling you?
How about not destroying the bathroom?
How come not destroying the bathroom is not an option?
Don't you have a restroom in your own home? You seem only to go at work.
No, I went before work, too.
Guys, I don't want to hear any more details about this. But I will say I'm totally with the guys on this, Mugs. You're not freaking Interpol on your tour bus in a snowstorm for 3 days. You have a job and a home. Poop at home.
Every day is Interpol to me, okay?
What the hell?
I don't even understand what that means.
Just move on from him.
Hey, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Friday morning.
Okay.
Were you guessing?
Is that some sort of code?
No, I just was.
Is the time is now?
Additional emphasis on how awesome it is that I want everybody to notice it is indeed actually finally for reals Friday.
Right. It's Friday.
Exactly.
Speaking of Fridays. TGI Fridays. Familiar with the chain, the food chain?
Take it easy.
TGI Fridays?
Yes.
In their British locations, for this holiday season, they're going to fly drones around their restaurants that have mistletoe hanging from them. And so the drone will hover over your head, and whoever is with you has to kiss you because you have to kiss them.
What's up with that? What could go wrong?
You have to kiss underneath the mistletoe. With a drone. With a drone flying over your head. It will hover over your head, hanging the mistletoe over you, right. And then you have to get kissed.
How many minutes do you think that will last before somebody gets poked in the eye?
Someone's losing an eye for sure.
And they just discontinue the whole thing.
Yes. So that's the British TGI Fridays drone program.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow.
And I wholeheartedly support it.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Oh, what the hell is that? What's up with that?
That's a good question, sir.
They should do that here in America.
Yes, they should.
But what thing Obama's not using drones for? Mistletoe. How about a little love? How about a little drone love instead of drone anger and hate?
By the way, I don't know how realistic Homeland is, but are you guys watching Homeland?
Yeah, it's great.
Every time they put a drone into effect, it reveals that it screws up the whole plan. Because all the people on the ground do is look up and they see a drone and they go, oh,
hey,
they know where
drone.
We are.
Yeah. But they can't see most of the drones. Bean, don't you know anything?
On TV, they can. On TV, every time there's a drone above them in Pakistan, they know it, and it blows the whole mission. I'm just saying, I thought the point was you're supposed to be able to surveil secretly.
You can, Bean, you can.
Then I'm very confused by what's going on.
Well, it's a fictional TV show, Bean. It's made up.
I thought they made an effort to be super realistic on that show.
I don't.
He's got a lot of problems with TV.
I don't.
He doesn't like the way they hack into computers so quickly.
I don't.
He's got a lot of issues.
I have an issue while we're talking about TV shows.
Yes. Yes, Kevin.
When did they stop keeping a distance when they tail somebody? In every single TV show that I've seen in the last 2 years, they tail people right on their bumper every move. And I go,
hey, you know what? They can probably see them right behind you.
They used to give a nod to that where they would go, hey, let's try and hide.
I'm not familiar with
okay, back to
about,
you.
But I'm sorry that it
I'm sorry
you.
I brought that up as well.
No, I think it's good. We're good radio.
Okay.
I'm glad we're out of time. So
it's
far we've
maybe
talked about
a question that we'll never know the answer
that
to.
That may be the case, Kevin, yes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Goldie
let's
Hawn.
Have it.
Goldie Hawn is 69 years old today. Oscar winner Goldie Hawn. I think she won for Overboard. I'm kidding.
Yeah, please.
Wildcats? What was it that she won for?
Could it have been Private Benjamin?
It could have been, but it isn't.
Oh, it isn't. What was
that? I think that was Eileen Brennan won for that film. She may have won for Cactus Flower or for...
Oh, that's it. It's Cactus Flower, yeah.
The singer Bjork. The only singer whose name is also a sound effect. Bjork is 49 years old. Michael Strahan. You know him from football. And then you know him from the pregame show. And now you know him from Kelly and Michael. What a career this guy's had. 43 years old. Jenna Malone currently can be seen in The Hunger Games, Mockingjay. She is 30 years old today. And Carly Rae Jepsen. She's got the catchiest little song in the world, that's all.
Hey, I just met you, and this is crazy. But here's my number, so call me maybe.
She's 29 years old today, and her career is over. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
1 hour from right now, you can win your way into night number two of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. It's going to be for Sunday, December 14th at The Forum. We got tickets once again today on K-Rock starting at 9 a.m. and every hour up until 5.
Mickey Rourke. Do we want him to box? Is that a thing?
No, we don't.
How old is he?
62.
62 years old. Just announced yesterday, Ralph told us in the showbiz beat that he is going to be in a boxing match with a 29-year-old in Russia.
I don't know how this happened. I mean, I guess he used to, I don't know the details, but he used to box quite a bit and he got pretty badly beaten up. And that's why his face looks the way it does, because of reconstructive surgery, as I understand it. But he says boxing has always been an important part of his life and it's something he wanted to do. And I assume they paid him a lot of money to fly to Moscow and fight in this 5-round fight. This guy that he's fighting with, by the way, if there's any consolation for 62-year-old Mickey Rourke, is that the guy apparently is not a very good fighter. The Russian he's fighting is 1-8 in his career. But he's 29 years old, so he's probably still going to beat Mickey Rourke, I would think, right?
I would guess so. I mean, he's being trained by Freddie Roach, who used to work with Pacquiao.
Yes, Freddie Roach is the real deal. If anyone can train you, it's Freddie Roach. But I don't know what kind of chance a 62-year-old has against any 29-year-old. But we thought we'd find out and bring the great Mr. Roach back onto the Kevin Beach. It's been a while since we talked to you, Freddie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
How did this happen? Why is Mickey Rourke fighting as a senior citizen?
Hey, you know, age is just a number.
Unless you're in a boxing ring.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
But it's really about what kind of shape you're in and what talent level you have. And how, you know, how much heart you have. And Mickey's Got all those things.
Freddie, okay. after the people that you've worked with, some of the best in the world, including Manny Pacquiao, how did they convince you to be a part of this?
Well, Mickey is a great boxer. You know, not a lot of people know, but he was a very successful amateur boxer before he was even an actor.
Mm-hmm.
In the 60s and 70s, he had 9 years of fights, 27-3.
Okay, but again, in the 60s and 70s, Muhammad Ali is possibly the greatest boxer that ever lived, but you wouldn't want him fighting today.
Well, you know, when you see Mickey fight, he reminds you a lot of Ali.
Of Muhammad Ali?
No, Ally McKay, that girl from Channel 5. those wacky human interest stories.
Right. Yeah. Where she dresses up like a furry?
Yeah, that reminds me of a little bit. Yeah.
That's a rare pull. I wouldn't have expected from you, Freddie Roach.
All right, so what do you know about this Russian guy that he's fighting?
Elliot Seymour, he's a great fighter. He really puts up a good challenge for Mickey.
A great fighter?
Elliot Seymour, yeah.
What's his record?
He's 1-8.
1-8 is not a great fighter.
Well, that one win came by knockout.
That one win came by knockout. Okay. But he has eight
losses.
He hit
the guy with a chair.
why does Mickey Rourke want to do this? Look, if he just wants to box, he can go to any gym in Hollywood and just box. Why is he flying all the way to Russia to fight this dude?
Because he knows he has a lot left in the tank when it comes to his boxing career, and he wants to prove it to the world. And I tell you, when you watch the guy fight, he really reminds you of Manny.
Of Manny Pacquiao?
Manny Pacquiao?
No, the kid from Modern Family.
So not so good, then.
Freddie, you okay?
I'll tell you, when you watch Mickey Rourke, he really reminds you of Pac-Man.
Of Manny Pacquiao again?
Nope. The arcade video game.
Oh, the arcade video game.
Stand in one place.
Anything else? Did you have something else, Freddie Roach, that you wanted to say about it, either of the boxers?
Yeah.
movie things are going to happen.
That's right.
Double D boobs outside my window. Double D boobs behind the tree. I wish that the children could see, but it can't because it's not rated PG, and it's double D boobs outside my window pane.
Actually, speaking of can the children see, what is our policy for the live Miss Double December pageant that we do each year at the Slide Bar in Fullerton? It's an all-ages show, right?
No. 21 and over.
Really?
Oh, yeah, dude, it's a bar.
I don't think Bean's talking about coming down there. Are you talking about coming down?
Yeah, I'm talking about being there live at the broadcast.
Yeah, yeah. 21 and over.
Yeah, okay. 21 and over, yeah.
And remember, right, bring a toy.
Yes, we haven't mentioned that enough this year. The show is going to be on December 5th this year. We'll crown Miss Double December 2015, and we do ask you to bring a toy as your admission, and then we give those out to all the little children in Orange County. Dave, our producer, the King of Mexico, joining us in studio. How are we looking as we approach the deadline of 10 o'clock this morning for submissions to be next year's Miss Double December?
We're doing pretty good, but I think the best usually wait towards the end of the – of the entry.
Well, I know our current Miss Double December, Brittany, waited until the last
usually
hour.
They do, but we have some good entries, and I think it's going to be a good year. It's going to be a tough year.
We have had – did we ever figure out how many years we've been doing the pageant, by the way?
Nope. Yeah.
about a dozen, and we have had some great Miss Double Ds over the year, including Brittany that Kevin just mentioned, the current Miss Double D, Lux from last year, and Joanna the year before that, and Christine and Danielle, and Yasmin and Christy and Melissa and Veronica. And it's so much fun for us to have
a memory when it comes to boobs. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Only
one baby between all of those.
Yeah. You know, we didn't mention maybe not pregnant.
Yeah.
Is that a dick thing to say?
No.
I
guess not. Because
it is sort of, but.
Hey,
you show up.
One girl is pregnant one time, and you get all uppity. Easy there, cowboy.
And Dave used to be personally offended, and it happened to be the Mexican winner. He did that bother him for a long time.
No, but the thing is that you have a full year of representing the Kevin and Bean Show, and you're rightfully so distracted if you're pregnant. Right?
Yeah, if you're pregnant now as you're entering, then what happens when the weenie roast comes around and you're out on stage in 100 degrees,
You need that plus one.
So,
Any advice you can give, Dave, to listeners who just haven't gotten it together yet and are looking to enter in the next 90 minutes or so about things that they should or shouldn't do based on the entries that you've seen so far this year?
Your full body shots, usually straight ahead. You know, that's the best. Not from above. You know, I don't want to see the back of your head. We don't want to see, you know, a side angle. We need straight just so we can get an idea of how smart you are.
Right.
Is that what we're saying?
That's our story. Yeah, and the Miss America pageant is a scholarship pageant. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
What else do the girls need to know here, Kevin, as we get close?
Well, they
got to
be 21 or over.
Okay.
You got to go to krock.com. We just put up the link. We tweeted it out as well. It's at kevinandb.com. You fill out some questions, some easy questions.
Yeah, there's easy questionnaire.
You do have to have a talent, which you can come up with now or later. It doesn't really matter. You'll end up doing it on stage if you're one of the final 10, but it for sure has to be in by 10 o'clock this morning because that's when everything gets cut off.
So the top 10 that we select over the weekend, then you'll be able to vote on at krock.com starting next week. Is that right, Dave?
Yeah, starting on Monday.
And this is how dedicated we are to our job. We promise you that we will spend all weekend, probably every minute, going over those entries and making sure, right, thank you, that we've picked the correct people.
Well, we take our responsibility seriously.
That's our
promise.
We feel
a strong team.
That's our promise.
This is us drafting for the season. So, yeah,
right.
we're going to take it seriously. So you'll be able to vote at krock.com starting on Monday. And then, I guess, the week after that is when the ladies start coming in. We get a chance to meet them. And that's a big part of who gets to be Miss Double December is how the interview goes, what their talents are and whatnot. And then, of course, the final winner will be determined thanks to you and your help on Friday, December 5th at the Slide Bar in Fullerton. So 10 o'clock today, this morning, is the deadline if you'd like to be Miss Double December 2015 from KROQ.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Double deep breaths are a-glowing. They're ready for showing to those far and those near. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
This Double D.
USA! USA! USA!
Getting excited about Landon Donovan next hour, Kevin?
I am, actually. Western Conference Finals, Sunday at 2.
Talk to Landon, a man who apparently will never retire. That's coming up.
He's
on
K-Rock. He's retiring at the end of the season, but
sure
we want him
is.
To win the championship.
We've been saying
What's
goodbye to him
you?
For 6 months. Stay or go. Plus, your tickets to the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Christmas coming up just after 9 o'clock. Our next guest does the work of 10 men. He is a rapper, gallery owner, podcaster, writer, producer, artist manager, marketing consultant, the creative director of the very funny Jash. He's Kevin and Bean's hip-hop correspondent, and he is our friend Jensen Karp, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Jensen.
I get tired even hearing that stuff. I'm so embarrassed.
Well, because you're an overachiever.
Yeah, you should be exhausted is what you should be. Hey, listen, I know you're calling to talk about a specific thing, but I just want to get a quick opinion about something else on the phone before we get to that, if you don't mind, sir.
Ah, please. That's my thing.
You are the hip-hop correspondent of the Kevin Beach Show. We don't get a chance to talk nearly enough about that as we would. I'm really starting to think that there's a backlash is starting to form against Eminem. Are you feeling that?
I mean, dare I say I was early on this backlash on your show.
You were.
But here's the thing. You're talking about the Iggy Azalea line from yesterday, right?
Right. That's the latest. It's just another song that he comes out with where he talks about how he wants to kill a woman.
Well, he also says he wants to sexually assault her.
Right.
So at the end of the day, I think you have to take a step back and you have to realize this is a 42-year-old man doing this about a 20-year-old girl. And also, if you were at a museum and there was a painter and you looked at his piece from 15 years ago, and then you moved a couple steps, you know, next to it, and a piece from 15 years later looked exactly the same, I think you would question his art. And there's been such little growth. It's just an underdevelopment of someone in art, and I think that the shtick is getting old.
So he was great at 20, but you can't do the same thing at 40 and have it be as effective.
Yeah, he's the same age as Cameron Diaz. I mean, could you imagine Cameron Diaz coming out and saying something shocking in order for us to be like, oh, man. I mean, just it's very hard to shock in 2014, especially at that age, and it just comes off kind of tired.
Yeah,
but he's a smart
guy. But her role in society is not to anger people. His is.
I guess.
Or was.
I mean, it was. That's what I feel like. I feel like the answer is it was. I think the songs that have really stood the test of time to me are stuff like Stan. You know, I don't think that the ones about killing his mother have really stood, you know, sort of, they're not timeless.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I mean, I don't know. It's like, how long, I mean, do you still think about Fred Durst backwards red hat?
No.
No, I don't. Days are over, man.
I mean, if I did, I wouldn't admit it.
Yeah, please. That would be a terrible fantasy.
All right. Who's worse, Eminem or Bill Cosby?
Oh, stop it.
Please, Bill Cosby. This is a terrible story.
I thought it was close. I was just going to go either way. 50-50 for me, but okay. All right. Well, let's move on to the reason Mr. Karp is on the phone. He is doing an awesome thing. Kevin and Bean listeners may remember a few months ago, in the spring, I think it was, you put together a reading of Space Jam. Tell us just briefly about that event.
Yeah, we did a thing. Me and Sean O'Connor, another comedian, did a thing called the Live Read That Shouldn't Happen. And basically, there's this thing going on in L.A. Where they take these very famous classic scripts and read them with a bunch of new actors and sort of breathe new life into it. We want to do the same thing, but for 80s and 90s movies that should not be celebrated that way. So we did it for Space Jam, and we had Blake Griffin read Michael Jordan's part. And we had Nick Kroll and Paul Scheer and Ben Schwartz and Danielle Fishel, who is Topanga from Boy Meets World. And we just all kind of sat around at UCB Theater, and we just read the script for its kind of absurdity right in front of everyone.
And it was hilarious, and it was up online, and people could watch it on their own. Ralph Garman was on that that night and played a bunch of parts. So you guys are doing it again at the UCB Sunset. Tickets available for just $10 at UCBtheater.com, and that's going to be when? Is that going to be tomorrow night?
Yeah, that's tomorrow night, Saturday, and it's at the new UCB Theater on Sunset, which is 5419 West Sunset, and we're really excited because that theater just opened. And we're doing Teen Wolf.
Come on, ladies and gentlemen.
From 1985. And yeah. Bean, I'd like to ask you, and not Jensen, who is going to be the star of this?
Why? Because you want me to say the name that I can never pronounce correctly?
Yes, please.
Kumail Nanjiani.
Perfect.
Close enough.
That's right. Yeah. So he's playing the Michael J. Fox role. Now, is this a script that, I mean, I guess it's the same as the Space Jam, is that it's the movie was a lot of athleticism. You don't get any of that with the read, but it still holds up just as a script, even if you don't get to see, you know, Kumail playing basketball.
Yeah, Kumail will play Teen Wolf. And it's really funny because reading these scripts, you learn things and you're like, this is so stupid. You know, the beginning of the movie starts with a warning that the makers of the film do not believe in the occult, which is just like, it's Teen Wolf, bro.
Really?
Yeah, this is an exorcist. But you learn things about these movies, and it's just reading it, it's just ridiculous. We have Kumail as Teen Wolf. We have Jonah Ray from, you know, Nerdist and The Meltdown. He also is playing Styles, which is sort of that 80s bro best friend.
Love it.
Love it. Love Jonah. Yeah. Love him. Yeah.
So we're excited about that. We have Lauren Lapkus from Orange is the New Black. You know, we don't really announce some of these, so this will be the only place we say it. But Lauren Lapkus is playing Boof. We have Pete Wentz from Fallout Boy. He's reading,
no kidding!
He's reading Lewis, which is one of the Teen Wolf friends. And we also have a bunch of great kind of comedic actors. A lot of people that when you see them, you're like, oh, I know that guy, like Seth Morris and Owen Burke. And we have Pat Healy, who's an incredible actor. I don't know if you've seen him in anything, but he's playing Principal Thorne. So it's going to be really fun. And the one rap one, sort of as the rap correspondent, is that we have Little Dicky. Have you seen Little Dicky yet?
No, I don't think so.
I feel like you guys more than anyone might love him. He has a song on YouTube called Let Me Freak that I think you'll love. But he's going to be sort of one of our surprise guests.
Oh, well, check that out. So let me ask you this about Teen Wolf. Like with so many other movies from that period, I have extremely fond memories of that movie being great. If I were to go back and watch it now, is it so horrible that it's still fun? Or is it just so horrible that I shouldn't believe it ever got made?
Well, it's better than it should be. Like, I think looking back, there's, you know, a handful of 80s movies. Like, have you seen Heathers in a while?
No.
No.
And again, that
doesn't hold up.
It doesn't hold up. Oh, interesting.
No. It's weird. But then when you watch Teen Wolf, there's certain parts where you're like, oh, that's so weird and over the top. I don't know if I'm with them. But then at the end of the day, it's sort of, you know, it's about a werewolf in sneakers.
Now, I also seem to remember that I enjoyed Jason Bateman as the star of Teen Wolf 2. Does that one hold up?
T-O-O.
No, oh,
that's
sure.
Right. That's right.
That one sucks. Let's be honest.
That one sucked then. Sucks now.
Yeah, that's where I draw the line. It sucks. It sucks. T-O-O.
How many people can the new UCB Theater hold, Jensen?
Not a lot. So we don't have a whole lot of tickets left. So hopefully people will jump on. And all you got to do is go to sunset.ucbtheater.com. And we have a couple tickets left. These shows are so insane.
Tickets are only $10.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Maybe you should raise it a bit, make a little money.
Nah, man, this is for fun.
$10.
This is a celebration of a film that some people have forgotten, and we sort of feel like if you come and watch us breathe new life into it, it's almost a reward enough to be able to do this.
Do you think that the people or person who wrote Teen Wolf was sort of in on the joke, or were they serious about it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know about the Phantom, you know, the kind of flasher in the film. Do you know about that?
I don't know about that.
So at the end of the movie, if you ever just want to break out the Blu-ray, at the end of the movie, when I'm not going to, I guess I won't spoil it, whatever. If you haven't seen Teen Wolf.
It's 1985. I think we're all right.
I think we're allowed.
I was just going to see it this weekend. God damn you, Jensen, for spoiling it.
I was going to the theater and everything. Basically, at the end of the movie, when they win the basketball game, there is a guy in the stands who pulls his penis out.
Yes,
this is a true thing. He just pulls his penis out and walks down the steps a couple steps, and then they cut away.
That's hilarious.
And that was left in.
You got to really look. It's sort of hidden in the background, but it's become sort of like a meme for the movie over time. It's like one of those things that if you know, you know. And I mean, I'm not going to say it has a legacy, but if it did have a legacy, it would be tainted by this.
And I hope tomorrow night that in that scene when you're reading the script, you're going to be the guy who stands up and pulls his pants down in the theater.
Well, that's what I do at UCB every time. So, yeah, it's just part of my normal act. Yeah.
All right, UCB Theater, tickets are just $10. It's going to be tomorrow night. It's going to be the live reading of Teen Wolf, and it does sound awesome. And again, it stars Kumail Nanjiani as Teen Wolf.
Nanjiani, so close.
And Jonah Ray as Styles. Jensen Karp has been our guest. Please follow him on Twitter. He's one of the funniest, at JensenClan88. And by the way, that's Clan with a C, not with a K. He don't roll like that. Thanks, Jensen.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thank you, bye. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
I believe it is time for us to open up the phones to give away some more tickets to Acoustic Christmas. What do you guys say?
Yep. I believe you're correct.
The sold out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. This time around, we're giving away tickets to Night 2. Please confirm. Does that sound right, you guys?
Yep.
All right, Imagine Dragons, Interpol, Modest Mouse, Smashing Pumpkins, Alt-J, Tears for Fears, Weezer, Vance Joy, and a little band called U2. And I think U2 are the fans we're looking for this time around.
Yes, they are. 1-800-520-1067.
Yeah, you've totally forgotten. Stop making that face, Grimmer, because you're the one who screwed it up yesterday and confused everybody.
Confused.
You've totally forgotten the game that we're playing, Kevin.
I'm completely confused.
We need to give U2 fans a heads up that you are going to be asking trivia questions to an expert. You're going to be trying to stump our friend Rodney Bingenheimer, who's going to be joining us in studio, with something that he doesn't know about the great band U2.
Well, that's sad because there's nothing he doesn't know about U2.
I know it seems like it's impossible to get anything past Rodney, but occasionally he misses one.
If nobody gets one past him, though, do they all go into the drawing or do we just deny them for the day?
I think that's fair. I think, absolutely, we can do it that way. But if you've got a U2 trivia question, call now at 1-800-520-1067. If you can stump Rodney, if he doesn't know the answer to your question, then you go into the drawing and you might win tickets to see U2 on December 14th. That's a four.
I don't think this has been explained enough.
Do we need more detail?
Call now. We'll get right back to you.
First, though, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Friday.
There's a lot of sexually confused rednecks right now throughout the great south of this country of ours.
That doesn't usually seem to be the case.
Not one, but two very popular male country music stars have come out as gay this week. And that, Bubba must be just flipping out. I went to see him in concert! Now what's that mean about me? I'm gonna go kiss a man.
These aren't stereotypes about country music listeners that we're hearing from you, are they, Ralph?
Oh, yeah. You know, you're right. Everyone who listens to country music is erudite and sophisticated.
I'm not saying everyone.
They all wear monocles and top hats as they walk their spats down to the beef and brew and get their trucks ready with their... Oh, F you.
I'm saying there are all types of country music fans, and not all of them are homophobes. That's all I'm saying.
No, you're right. The South and Texas and those states, they have a remarkable tolerance and openness towards those who have sexually alternate lifestyles. You're absolutely right. I don't know what I was thinking. They're the most forgiving, open-minded people in our country.
All right,
God
so who's
love
gay?
Them. God who's love gay? Them. Ty Herndon came out on Entertainment Tonight this week saying that women aren't really his thing.
Is he a big artist?
Had a huge hit with a song called What Matters Most.
Okay.
And has been around for quite a long time. He was married twice, as a matter of fact. And now he's been in a relationship with one lucky fellow for a number of years. And he said it was time for him to step out of the shadows and say, I'm here. I sing country. Get used to it. Billy Gillum, another country western singer. He was a kid star. I think he was like 10, 11 years old when he had his first hit smash hit.
Really?
He also has come out and has an interesting video on YouTube where he kind of slams the country music industry for being ashamed of its gay artists and encouraging them to lie about who they are to protect their careers, which is kind of sad.
Hmm.
So,
what about Will Lexington? When's he going to come out, by the way, with that sham marriage with Lena?
I don't know what that is.
It's a fictional show, Nashville. It's it's a part of that show.
Okay. Yeah. I need a vacation. Is it Friday?
It is, actually.
Okay, good.
Speaking of singing, remember that lawsuit that was brought by 10 American Idol contestants of color who claimed they were discriminated against?
That's right.
Because of their race, and the show was trying to boot them off early by digging up dirt on them?
To which we, at the time, discussed it and said, what about Jennifer Hudson and Reuben Kincaid, whatever his name was, and Fantasia and all the other famous black contestants that did very well on that show.
Right. Well, that's also what the judge said. And he also said all this dirt they claim the producers dug up on them was actually flagrant violations of a contract that they willingly signed when they went on the show. For example, there was a guy who named Jermaine Jones, who was eliminated because he was in a pre-existing music group, and you weren't allowed to be, at least at the time.
Oh, I see.
You had to be a true amateur before you got into this competition. He had already been with a group and had an album, so they said, you have to go. He said, oh, it's because I'm black. And the judge said, wait a minute, there was a white contestant who was tossed off the same reason in the previous season of the same show, so you really can't make it about that. It's about you violating the rules. And so the judge kicked the case out of court, and those contestants all lost again. So, losers! And sad news. Do you guys ever watch Sullivan and Son over on TBS?
I don't know what
about
that
is. About a family who ran a neighborhood bar in Pittsburgh?
No.
It was a very entertaining show.
I saw it the one time we had somebody on from the show, I think.
I starred Steve Byrne and Dan Laria and Jody Long. It was an entertaining show. TBS has canceled that show after 3 seasons, so... Sorry, Sullivan and Son family. The good news is AMC's Better Call Saul.
Yes.
Has a premiere date. Sunday, February 8th, we'll see our first episode.
Can't wait.
Bob Odenkirk is back in the title role. And the series is interestingly set 6 years before Breaking Bad. So you'll see his evolution from small-time lawyer into the character he played in Breaking Bad. So,
and it's written
it's
by
like a prequel.
Vince Gilligan, right?
Yeah. He's back to run the show.
Fantastic.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Goldie Hawn, Oscar-winning actress, is 69 years old today. Bjork, singer. Singer. 49 years old. Michael Strahan, former football player. And, of course, now TV host, is 43. Jenna Malone, who can be seen as Joanna Mason in The Hunger Games Mockingjay, 30 years old. And Carly Rae Jepsen turns 29. Hey, I just met you. A lot of people saying, oh, thanks a lot. Now I got that stuck in my head all day long.
Yeah.
And
all
I
weekend.
Say, you're welcome.
All weekend.
Ralph Garman, walk the showbiz beat. All right. Rodney on the Rock Show, K-Rock 106.7.
Nope. Kevin and Bean. It's Kevin and Bean Show.
Rodney on the Rock Show.
Nope. We'll handle this, Rodney.
Next,
thanks. Thank you.
New music from David Cassidy.
David Cassidy has no new music.
David Cassidy,
brand
25
new
years.
Album. All right. Called "Someone Bail Me Out."
Hey, Roddy, let me handle the business here. What we're doing is trying to give away tickets to night two of the sold out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic to Christmas. Now, Rodney, I know that we think of you and your Sunday night show here on K-Rock as playing a lot of 80s music, being a fan of a lot of 80s music.
I love the 80s.
You love the 80s. How do you feel about the 90s?
I hate the 90s.
Hate the 90s. Okay. But we're not looking for...
I'm lukewarm on the 2000s.
We're not looking to talk
I'm
about...
very fond of the 2010s.
This time around, we're just talking about U2. That's the only band that's going to be discussed. So try to limit your answers
you're
to U2.
You talking about me too?
No, no, the band.
I was talking about me on the other night, Friday night.
By the way, U2 does
Sonic
cover
Highways.
The 80s and the 90s. You were on Sonic Highways.
HBO,
yes.
11
Foo Fighters,
p.m.
we know.
Friday.
We all saw it, Roddy. It was very impressive. But listen, here's what I'm saying is the listeners are on the line, and they're going to ask you questions about the band U2 from any phase of their career, and you're going to try to answer those questions. If they stump you, they go into the drawing to win tickets to see U2 at our show, okay?
U2 is just at my pad interviewing me for their
No,
TV
they weren't.
Show.
It was Foo Fighters.
That was Pat Smear from Foo Fighters. All right.
Uh-oh.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to stump Rodney.
Yeah, wig-wham-bam.
All right, wig-wham-bam.
Who's our first contestant, Kevin?
What does wig-wham-bam mean exactly?
You're not hep. You don't know.
Okay.
You're the enemy.
Artemio? Artemio?
Wow, close enough.
How do you say it?
Artemio.
Artemio.
All right. Santa Clarita, you're on with the great Rodney Bingenheimer. What's your question, please?
All right, Rodney, what city did the band start in?
What city did the band start
Pretty... Pretty well-known fact here about you two.
Berlin.
Ooh.
That is actually, wow, that's actually a city.
It is a city,
it
and
is?
It's in
Europe.
I just
thought it was an 80s band.
It's not correct. It's not correct. What is the real answer?
Dublin is the real answer.
Dublin.
Now, Roddy, why wouldn't you know that? They're the most famous musical act that has ever come out of Ireland.
Dublin.
But why don't you know that?
Triplin.
All right, Artemio is in the drawing. Who's next?
Next is Angie in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hi, Rodney. And what year did the band U2 start?
Year the band U2 start.
All right, here we go.
I'll get that. Are you at work?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you're playing a video game.
I wish I was.
You have a guess, Rodney.
Yes, 1985.
That's wrong.
What year was it?
1976.
Yeah, I don't like the 70s.
Right, we didn't.
Sounds way. You know that they had like three albums before 1985, Roddy. You played them on your show.
All right. What did I win?
You've got nothing right so far.
Okay.
Let's go to Mike in Long Beach. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Hi, Roddy.
Hi.
See if you can name the bass player for the band.
Sure, I can.
All right, great. Who plays bass?
What band?
U2.
U2. These are all U2 questions, Roddy.
Oh, U2.
Yeah.
Right.
All right.
Who plays bass?
Debbie Gibson.
You really think it's Debbie Gibson?
Only in my dreams.
Is it Debbie Gibson, Mike?
Incorrect.
Who would it be?
It is Anna Clayton.
Okay. Is that ring a bell? Adam Clayton?
Anna Clayton?
No.
No.
That's 0 for 3. How about Dave Valencia? He's up next on line 4. He wants to stump Rodney to win his way in
Devo.
To see you two.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Rodney,
hey,
wait for the question, if you would. Just
sorry,
wait for...
I didn't mean to say Devo.
All
I'm
right.
I'll wait.
Dave.
Where did they get their name from?
Devo.
Is it Devo, Dave?
No. You too, from the tax form.
All right, thanks. You're the drawing.
From the tax form?
I guess that's a tax form.
It's not.
In Ireland, I guess it is. I thought it was from the spy plane. He shows what the hell I know, but he says it's the tax form. I'm not going to argue with Dave.
Tax form?
All right, let's try.
W-2?
All right, let's go back to Dave. Let's source him then. I thought maybe it was just something in Ireland. Let's see if he knows what he's talking about.
Dave, you're not talking about the W-2, are you?
Dave?
I don't know where he went.
Did he hang up in shame and embarrassment?
I don't know. He should. Right. If he's wrong, he should have.
Let's keep him in the drawing, but make sure he doesn't win. All right, let's go to Mario next. Line 5, please. He's got a question for Rodney.
Thanks,
Rodney.
Hey, Mario.
Hey, Mario.
Rodney, what was the title of U2's first album?
First album.
First album title.
Fine Young Cannibals.
Why would they name their album after another band?
I'm sorry, Big Country.
Again! Mario?
That was close. It was Boy.
Boy.
Yeah, sure was.
Boy.
All right, we got time for a couple more. How about
the dude that we were sourcing hung up?
Girl.
For the record.
Well, he's embarrassed.
He should be.
Let's go to Don in Irvine. Hi, Don.
Hey.
Rodney.
Don is on the phone.
Don's on the phone?
Don is on the phone.
Is Don on the phone?
Don, stump Rodney.
Don. Hey, this is Don. Hey, Rodney, what's Edge's real name?
Adam Ant. Don't drink, don't smoke. What do he do?
Don, is that correct? Is it Adam Ant?
No, it's not.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
It is?
David Evans.
Okay, that sounds right. Thank you for the call. Tax form. Let's go to one more caller. It's going to be David in Montclair.
Right.
He's on line 7. So far, Rodney, I don't want you to feel bad because we appreciate you getting up and coming in, but so far you haven't answered any of the questions on YouTube. Okay?
Spandau Ballet.
Hasn't been a question yet.
All right, I'm sorry.
David in Montclair hasn't. Okay, David, go ahead.
Okay, what was the name name of the school that U2 formed in?
School U2 formed in?
Name of the
school.
So this would be the name of a school,
name
Rodney.
Of a school. So it has to be the name of a school.
Right. It would be a school's name.
Okay.
Annie Lennox.
Do you think they went to an Annie Lennox high school in the 70s before she was popular?
Kraftwerk.
What's the answer, David?
It's Mount Temple Comprehensive School.
Rodney did not know that one, so you were in the drawing along with Don and Mario and Mike and Angie and Artemio, but no Dave. Only one can win. Who's going to the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Feast of Christmas on December 14th?
Number 5, Mario!
Yay!
Hey, Mario!
Congratulations, Mario!
All right.
Thank you, Rodney.
All right, that's Godhead.
Let's all stop Rodney now!
Yeah, wigwam pam.
Kevin, me listener Robert just wrote in. I think he may be onto something here. We're talking about that caller who thought that U2 got their name from a tax form. And
yep.
We think he was maybe just confused with a W2 and then he hung up in shame and embarrassment.
Right.
Robert writes in. He says, I think the dude was thinking of UB40, which is a UK unemployment form. And that's where that band got their name. So maybe he was thinking of a different band and different paperwork.
But he was wrong and he hung up on himself.
Yes,
so,
he did.
So
he
all
have.
Is right with the world.
Exactly. And he didn't win. Exactly. Okay. So anyway, but that at least makes more sense where that came from.
Sure.
So, anyway. All right. Very excited about what's going on this weekend out at the StubHub Center as the Los Angeles Galaxy are 3 matches away from winning yet another Major League Soccer championship. Landon Donovan back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Landon. How you doing, man?
What's going on, guys? I just want to let you know that I love UB40.
All right.
Red Wine. You ever heard that song?
You know, want to know something funny is that Bean is the person in this country who discovered that song and brought it to radio, and radio started playing it.
Is that serious?
My partner is the person that brought UB40.
That's incredible.
It was weird because it was a song that had been out for a while on a previous album and had never really gotten any play, and I thought, what a great song. I bet this would work. And, yeah, that was what's kind of started the chain, and the next thing you know, they had a big number one hit with it. So that's a song you love, huh?
But you don't really love it.
It started your career, too.
You don't really love it, Len, to be honest.
No, I do love it.
Okay.
That.
All right.
Now, what's your...
My dad used to play it all the time.
What's your take on the Neil Diamond original? What are your feelings on that?
I have no comment on
that. Yeah, who's ever heard that? I don't understand.
So no, it's UB40 or nothing.
Actually, I don't even think I've heard the original.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Yeah, but I didn't even know that was the original.
I think you'll be all right.
Welcome to UB40 Talk with Landon Donovan, our new segment we're going to do on Fridays. Hey, you're going to be retired. You're going to have time to join us every Friday to talk UB40, right?
Come anytime you want.
So 3 left. How are you feeling? You just had a nice little break before the playoffs keep going. What's up?
Yeah, hopefully 3 left. We've got 2. We've got Seattle home and then Seattle away next weekend. And if we score more goals in those 2 games, then we get another MLS Cup final here in L.A. So we're pretty motivated.
Yeah, it was sort of rough against Real Salt Lake the first leg, but then the second leg when you played them here was ridiculous. How does that happen? How do you play the same team a week later and have such a different result?
Well, we played them at away first, and that's a very hard place to play. They're very good at home, probably the best team other than us at home over the last 3 or 4 years. There's altitude. They have good fans. They play well there. So it's always difficult, but we played them to a 0-0 tie there, and then we knew at home we've been very good this year, and we made some adjustments. That's what it's about when you play teams back-to-back like this. You got to make adjustments from one game to the next, and we made adjustments, and they paid off.
I was watching that game in Seattle, and tell me if I'm just crazy or if this is something that happens. They only needed a tie to win the supporter shield, so I kind of got the feeling that they were just playing defense more than offense. Is that just a strategy that you play, or am I reading that wrong?
Yeah, at the end of the season, it was the last game, and all they needed was a tie. We needed to win the game to win the regular season championship, so they played a little more defensive than they probably normally would at home, but it's all they needed to do, and This will be a little different. I think this weekend they'll come here and probably play that same way where they'll try to get out of here with a tie or maybe sneak a win. But when they go back home, they're going to have to put a lot more emphasis on attacking, which should probably help us too.
You guys get a pretty chirpy with them, with Seattle. They pretty much, you guys don't like each other.
Well, this time of year, it's always, there's more on the line. So teams are more apt to play a little harder and a little rougher and a little dirtier. But there's a lot of respect between the teams, and it's going to be the same way over the next 2 weeks. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's fun for people to watch. And for us, we play hard, and then after the game, it's fine.
All right, I want to ask you a question about Seattle specifically that you may not be able to or won't want to answer. Holy crap, do they flop a lot. Man, do they fall when you get... You run within 10 yards of them, and I know that this is a problem across the world with soccer, but Seattle, come on, right?
Well, it's something we're hoping more and more we can take out of the game. It's
right, but Seattle's upping it. Seattle is upping it.
I think what happens is you get players that are not used to playing in our league, or they're foreign players, and they're used to that kind of behavior being okay where they come from. So in the heat of the moment, they just sort of revert back to their old ways. And I think all their coaching staff, our coaching staff, certainly makes a point of making sure that guys don't play that way, because it's just ugly. It's ugly to watch. We don't like it as players, and we want it out of the game.
Kevin believes that there are no good people who live in Seattle. Your thoughts, Landon?
I said that mainly because Bean lives there, but...
Well, I'm going to have to correct you because I have some family that lives there. So oh. At least like 10 or 15.
All right, 10 or 15. Right. As long as they're not named Bean, they're all good.
How dare you? Hey, what did you do? You were pretty healthy going into the break, right? So you didn't have to rehab. What did you do with the time off?
We had last weekend off, which is, I mean, for us, is so strange to have a weekend off. So I went home out to Redlands. I saw my family, saw my nephew, hung out for a few days and just sort of decompressed and got away from the soccer world for a few days. And then it's nice because you come back really refreshed.
Let me ask a question about your retiring, which everybody keeps asking about, because to be honest, you're still, you know, one of the best players in MLS, so that doesn't make sense to people why you would quit. You in an interview said that you kind of subconsciously have known for several years that this was it. How did you know that?
Well, I've kind of gone back and forth with this for a long time. You know, I'm not.
You're 32, and you're still playing at the top of MLS.
But I'm probably built a little bit differently, wired a little bit differently. I've always sort of flirted with this and wondered, you know, when the end would come. And before, when I thought about making that decision, it just didn't feel right in my gut. But when I talked about it with those close to me and made the decision, it just felt right. And sometimes you don't have a perfect answer as to why or when or how. But for me, this just, it made sense and it felt right. So.
Kevin, a guy's allowed to just be tired, too.
No, I know. I'm just saying it. What struck me as odd is that you said, and maybe you were misquoted, that you sort of subconsciously always knew this was the year.
Mm. Well, I think, I don't know about always, but for the last few years, probably. I mean, I wanted to play in a World Cup. I wanted to have a chance to win another championship with LA. So this just sort of made sense for me. For some reason, this sort of made sense as this would be the year. And you guys, I mean... You guys have been doing what you do for a long time. I'm sure there's obviously days where you get up and...
Can't wait to get out, lady. Can't wait.
Yeah.
every day, I hope it's our last day.
it's an interesting thought, though, you know, because obviously there's times where you think, do I want to keep doing this? And as a soccer player, we have a definitive end. I mean, your body can only hold up so much. So fortunately, as long as you guys have voices, then you can keep doing it.
I think... Every night I'm fine, and every morning when the alarm goes off, I go, "Holy crap! This is a terrible
plan." With this,
this is a terrible plan.
Exactly.
It's so weird, and I know we're almost out of time here with Landon Donovan talking about the Los Angeles Galaxy playing the Western Conference Finals this Sunday at StubHub Center. And let's give away some tickets real quick while I'm thinking about it. 1-800-520-1067 for tickets plus passage to the pregame warm-up and postgame autograph session. Be caller 20 and win them right now. It's so weird, and the reason you're different, Landon, for your career is different from a lot of people is you've been playing soccer since you were a tiny little boy. And you're not going to have to play soccer anymore after the next couple of weeks. And you probably still have another 50 or 60 years to live. I mean, it's going to be hard for you to think, hey, what am I going to do today? Because you've just been so programmed. What I'm going to do today is try to be good and stay good at soccer your whole life.
Yeah, it's a great point. And it's scary and it's exciting at the same time because we have had our schedule sort of defined for us for so many years. But you're right. I played since I was literally since I could walk. I'm definitely not going to stop playing soccer. I'm just going to stop playing as a professional at this level. So I will have.
Are you going to join like an adult league where they just go out there for fun and everybody hates you because you're scoring 10 goals?
I'm going to put on a fake nose and glasses and go out there and hustle some people. I got to make money.
That would be hilarious, by the way, if Landon put on a mask and started hustling people in the park.
I love it.
Or you could just travel the world and follow UB40 around. Maybe that's another option.
All right.
You can get your tickets at lagalaxy.com or ticket.axs.com. Kevin, I don't know when we'll be talking to Landon again. This could be it. Anyway, I'm going to give you the final words.
We'll see you next year for the start of the Galaxy season.
When I come out of retirement.
Right.
All right. Sounds good.
Good luck on Sunday. We'll see you there.
Thanks, guys. Have a good week.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:45.
Madness. Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph. What's going on?
Well, this is going to come as a shock to you, but someone has stepped forward and said that Bill Cosby forced sex on her.
What is happening?
What is this, the fifth now, I think, this week?
I can't keep track of them. I think I saw another one yesterday and another one today, Ralph.
The problem is you just don't know, right? So far.
Actress Louisa Moritz, who was in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, did a bunch of Love America styles back in the 70s. She was making an appearance on Johnny Carson's Tonight Show in 1971, back when it was still in New York City at the NBC studios there. She says she was in the green room waiting for her appearance on the show. There was a knock at the door, and it was Cosby who walked in, said he was impressed with her work, and implied that he was going to see to it that I became a major star through his connections, she says. It was at that point, suddenly Cosby approached me. Can't really describe what she says here, but forces himself on her face.
Okay.
And after it was over, said, "Now you don't want to upset me in the plans for your future, do you?" he said as he turned and walked out of the room.
Wow, that's ugly.
You know, so many of these stories from these women across decades in different parts of the country that don't know each other are remarkably similar. And one of the things seems to be that Cosby played that card a lot, that I can help you in show business if you'll come here.
Dangled that quite a bit in front of
him. Yeah.
Stop it.
Mugs. Why do you have to make it ugly?
Jeez, beer mug. By the way, Cosby has been canceled from an Arizona Indian casino. He was supposed to do a performance on February 15th. That has been canceled. However, he is reportedly still set to perform tonight in Florida. So I guess it hasn't ruined every career opportunity for him, but I can't imagine who's going to see Bill Cosby at this point.
They might not have internet or TV in Florida yet.
That's true. I forgot. We really should send one of those Pony Express riders down there with a bag full of letters and hand some out to those folks. Somebody get a quill pen and write something for those folks in Florida.
I'm sure the news will be out there. Lots of news outlets will be out there interviewing people going into that show to find out why they're there.
Yeah. Porn star Kim Kardashian may not win Mother of the Year award this year. She did tell Us Weekly magazine that she would be cool if her daughter North wanted to pose naked when she got older.
It's Kim Kardashian West.
I'm sorry, Kim Kardashian West.
She said what?
It would be cool if daughter North wanted to pose naked when she got older. Kim says that posing for her naked for her empowered her so she could feel good about herself. Because that's the only way really you can feel good about yourself is to take naked pictures.
Right, because you get a lot of positive reinforcement from people on the internet that way if you do that, Ralph.
That's right. Listen, people always say, she's not much of a mother. She doesn't have a very good mother, that Kim Kardashian. Look at who she learned from. Look at what example she had growing up.
Good point.
If Kris Jenner was your mother, I doubt you would have the best parenting skills yourself.
Look, I think all women should pose naked, but it's not appropriate to wish that on your children. Those are the only people that you should say, I hope they hold back.
Well, she didn't wish it on her. She just said if she did it, it'd be cool.
She's going to force her to do it. Look at what they're doing to her little half-sisters. They got Kendall and Chlamydia or whatever their names are running around half-naked all
white
the
slavery.
Time.
They are in white slavery, those two. You're right.
I mean, it seems like they're just forcing them to get naked. So they're not even 18 yet, and they're forcing them to get
12
naked.
They're 12, and they're nude. That's and not true. They're serving some sheik, I think, right now in
seems
Abu Dhabi.
Like. I don't think that's true.
And let me leave you with some good news before we say goodbye for the weekend, shall we? Barry Manilow's announced he's calling it quits.
How dare Woo-hoo! You? How dare you? Yay! All right.
He's announced his farewell tour.
Why are you so happy about this? You don't ever have to go
you're
see
unhappy.
Him.
Which will take place beginning in February and end in June. It'll be his last series of concerts. So he said this is fans' chance to see him. You can see Barry, well, his head anyway, from the back of a theater, but he's got a little tiny little stick body. It's hard to see that part of him.
Excellent! So, is that you playing that, Kevin?
Get your tickets now.
Excellent!
There we go. I guess that was you.
Yeah. Because I had this. I hit it at the same time.
Yeah. I like it before when you cut it right off.
Yeah.
We liked it when you thought
excellent.
I didn't play
that. Excellent! 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 How dare you?
Today's celebrity birthday. You know what you
want.
Loud!
No!
No!
Look!
Isn't it bad?
Kick your ass for wasting my time.
Isn't it bad if we played Eve 6 today? Do we have to play Barry Manilow as well on our show?
Seriously. I'm just sad he's retiring.
I'm happy.
I am
too. Enough's enough. Today's celebrity birthdays. Goldie Hawn is 69 years old today. Singer Bjork is 49. Michael Strahan, Football Hall of Famer, now TV host, 43 years old. Jenna Malone, who can be seen in Hunger Games Mockingjay, turns 30 today. And Carly Rae Jepsen celebrates her 29th birthday.
I'm going to do this one more time just so it's stuck in your head all weekend.
All right.
And you're welcome. Hey, I just met you. Stop with that. Nobody needs to see that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Don't forget, what are we, 9 minutes away from the cutoff for Miss Double December.
Oh, my God.
Applications. And then on Monday, we're going to announce the top 10. Plus, we'll have Andrew Siciliano in to talk about how the Arizona Cardinals wrecked the Seattle Seahawks. Monday morning.
See you guys.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
So, another Friday is upon us.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass that over to me.
What you said?
Roll another one.
Are you mentally insane?
Just like the other one.
Yes, yes, yes. Get it.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another
hit. Oh, I almost forgot. I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay? Thanks.
Roll. Another one.
They never fail to disappoint.
Excellent. Just like the other.
I genuinely don't know how to respond.
This one seems to be about to end.
Yeah, it's tick-tock, tick-tock.
I don't have another cent. Barcelona! Barcelona! I don't want to drive that joint.
I'm very sad. Let's stop talking.
Just pass it around.
I'll just be your secret lover.
Look, I've been thinking. Maybe I need to hit the big red button and bring an end to this operation. I mean, it's been fun, but it's out of control now. Am I right?
Anyway, I'm out of here. I head out to those streets with potholes. And I read somewhere they're going to have more potholes coming soon. So watch out for those potholes. Somebody should go out and put markers and draw where all the potholes are so we could kind of avoid them. Anyway, stay tuned now for Beer Mug. Keep you up the rest of the night and keep you in shape.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Please drink responsibly.